Nintendo.
Super Mario Jumps.
Nintendo.
Cereal system is a super part of this nutritious breakfast.
Nintendo.
Two cereals in one. Wow!
Leroy Jenkins.
That's exactly what Leroy needs to do. Interrupt that commercial. The cereal, however, very good.
I loved that cereal.
Commercial. Well, the commercial fit the times, I can tell you that. I remember watching whatever it was I was watching, probably DuckTales or something in the afternoon, coming home from school.
Yeah.
And there it was. I was watching it on YouTube. It's low budget on the effects because it's putting these kids into the game, and it doesn't really work. So welcome to In-Game Chat. This is episode 13.
Lucky number 13.
Yeah, it is. And we're glad to have you here. Jeremy Straxus, he's in here with me tonight, and Zilla is on her way. She said she would be here eventually, but so far it's just us. And I'm sounding a little different. I came down with some nastiness. I've had a really rough 2 weeks.
Yes, you have.
Last weekend, it was some really bad stuff that I had, and it continued on into the week. And then last weekend, around Sunday, I woke up feeling not so good. And then it really hit me. Actually, I was off all day Wednesday.
Wow.
I didn't even come in. I had like a fever running and all this other stuff. It just, yeah. So I'm just kind of, I'm recovering, and hopefully you can kind of take over on some of the vocal abilities
here. I'll do my best.
It's not that great for
me. Hopefully I've learned something from you.
I hope you have too.
The past 13 weeks.
I hope you have as well. So this is episode 13, and I want to thank everybody for joining us here at 1170 WACV. And you can join us in the chat room set up by our good friends over at evilavatar.com. Head over there, head over to mouselick.com, and there are, right there on the front page, there are links there for you to join us in the chat room and to listen on the stream that is provided by WACV 1170 AM here. So thank you for listening, and thank you for joining us for In-Game Chat. Let's jump right into it and get to some news going around. Do you want to kick it off, or would you rather me? What do you got over there?
Well, let's see. Just sitting here near the top of the pile, it's Duke Nukem Forever's, they say, 10th unbirthday.
Well, we were talking about this,
and it's not really its birthday since it hasn't actually...
It's never been born.
...been born, so that actually makes it its 40th trimester.
Right.
Since 10 years in development now.
Someone needs to get a C-section on that one and pull that thing out of there. That's got to hurt. It's 10 years old since they, announced the game that was in development, or they were going to work on it, or...
Let's see.
There's a lot of fluff in that article. There's a lot of poking fun at Duke Nukem Forever, so...
Yeah, 10 years ago, on this very day, you were conceived and hurriedly scribbled onto tiny notebooks. Computers weren't even invented yet. And from there, typed up into magazines. Remember them? But, yeah.
It's, 10 years ago.
Man, I thought Daikatana took forever to come out.
You know, interesting, you're talking about birthdays there. I don't know if I've got the article or you do, but it's 1 year ago today that Nintendo's Revolution was formally named the Wii.
Christened Wii.
Yes.
And we were like, what?
And everyone scratched their heads. Exactly. You heard this. You heard probably some houses got knocked over with the amount of people going, what?
People were very upset about that.
They were, I don't know that they were upset. They were just kind of...
Oh, they were upset.
Well, my first reaction was, what? Then I got upset, I think, for a little while. But I think the general first immediate response was, huh?
Huh?
Yeah. And then it was, they have to be kidding. A lot of people thought
my first response was,
yeah,
huh?
You can
and then after
back.
That, I mean, I was a little atypical, I suppose, because I was kind of like, yeah, that's kind of cool.
No, I hate it. Come on, Revolution
it grew on me really quick.
Well, it's grown, obviously it's grown, well, we just have to come to accept it. There's no real way around it. But, but yeah, so it was named, which still, today, it's just kind of, you've heard the parody commercial before we came
on.
Yeah. It's, you know, and poke fun at it, but, you know, speaking of the Wii, it outsold the PS3
In Japan.
In Japan, which,
by
again...
7-1.
It was 7-1, but again...
I don't think anybody's really surprised about that.
Exactly. Though. You're talking about a $250 console, which, I don't know, is it the same... Does it work out to be the same price in Japan?
Roughly.
Yeah. And a $600 console. You're going to have... Yes, of course it's going to outsell, even though the supply is not, you know, really up. You're still... Yeah, it's still going to outsell, regardless. And speaking of, supplies apparently came in stock pretty quick... here lately.
I saw that.
Yeah, I know John, your cousin, John finally got one. I wish he was here tonight to tell us about his experience, but he finally got one. Last weekend...
He brought it up to the Shakespeare Festival today.
Oh, did he?
Apparently. Yeah, because Becky was supposed to bring hers, and we didn't get around to disconnecting it, and he found out, and he's like, okay, well then I'll bring mine.
Yeah,
so
cool.
So they were, I guess, playing Wii up
they
there.
Were bowling, I guess.
Probably.
Last weekend, there was rumor going around that some of the Walmarts, not around our town, but there was rumor that Walmarts nationally had mislabeled the 120 gigabyte hard drive.
I heard that.
For the Xbox 360 Elite. They had labeled it for like $79, really, really cheaper than the $179 that it's supposed to cost. So I went on this... Saturday, I went all over to Walmarts all over. I hit 5 Walmarts in one day.
Yeah, I remember that. I had to wait for like 2 hours before you're like, okay, you can come over to my house now.
Yeah. You had called to come over.
It was
and
all
so,
for nothing.
So I went to Walmart. In fact, one of the Walmarts that I went into locally had a Nintendo rep there. They were supposed to be doing, it was a brand new Walmart that had opened up, and he was there, and they were having a contest on the DS with Mario Kart, and he had all this little Nintendo garb, like some... backpacks and things like that. Really cool stuff that I'd love to have, but I didn't have the time to sit there and compete. I don't know if anybody showed up. But I asked him. I asked him about, because at the time we had just gotten done talking about the supply.
Yeah.
Not meeting the demand.
Yeah.
And I had asked him about that, and he said, well, in about a week's time, around the first week of May, which is next week, you're going to see more Wii's on the shelves. We're finally getting through our production run of whatever. We're finally getting all the orders out that we've had come in, and you're going to start seeing them on the shelf. Lo and behold, people are starting to pick them up and starting to get them, and we've got one of the articles here saying that they were going to up production. So Nintendo reps don't lie.
Except when he said, we're really not doing this on purpose.
I didn't press that. I you had said this. You had said this last week.
You should have brought it up.
No. I didn't have to. He jumped in with he offered the information. The first thing he says is like, no, we're not doing this on purpose. We're not holding supply back so the demand increases.
Yeah, you should pull out the numbers, though.
I didn't.
Numbers?
I'm sorry. I didn't have the numbers with me. I guess I need to keep your phone with me to call you up. Talk to this guy.
Look this up.
Yeah, exactly. So, what else you got in the news?
Let's see. There's a rumor the new Crimson Skies game is coming out.
There is. There's a rumor of Crimson Skies 2.
I loved the first Crimson Skies game on the PC. I never played the one on the Xbox.
I didn't like the one on the Xbox.
Really? I heard that a lot.
I'm not a big... I like flight sims. I really do. This is not a flight sim. Nowhere near it. It's,
right.
It's an arcade flight thing, but... I'm sorry, but if I'm in a chase with another plane, I want to be able to turn on a dime like I do with a car in Burnout and racing games and stuff like that. Like in Crackdown, I can whip that sucker around so fast.
You can't really do that in a plane.
No, you can't. You've got to bank and take a really long turn. And by that time, where did he go?
It was a really interesting universe, though, an alternate version of the...
Actually, they did have little maneuvers you could do to actually turn on a dime. So.
30s?
It was set in the 30s, yeah.
Yeah. It was really, really interesting. Basically, if Zeppelins and air travel had become the dominant form of transportation instead of cars, it was really... It had a lot of personality.
But I look forward to a sequel to it. I really, you know... I know a lot of people love that, and so I look forward to having a sequel for a game that the majority of people love, so... what else? You want me to jump over here, or you?
Go ahead. I'm looking for something else interesting.
Excuse me.
He's sick.
You're going to hear that from time to time, and I apologize.
In case we haven't mentioned that.
So while the PS3 system numbers are down, the Folding at Home project numbers are up.
You know, for those who don't know, processing power is sometimes referred to as flops, how many flops per second a processor is capable of. Without going into too much detail, let's just say that somebody talked about, in relation to this story, about how much they've been able to boost the folding at home project for, you know, finding cures for cancer and things like that.
Right.
That the PS3 has heretofore unforeseen flopping power.
Yeah,
for a console.
It has. Over 250,000 users have signed up for the Folding at Home project, and that is just with the PlayStation 3. So we know that 250,000 people own a PlayStation 3, which is cool. They enjoy a computing power of 700 teraflops in a single moment, 400 of which are delivered by PS3 owners.
Yeah. PS3s flop really well.
Yeah, they do, don't they? But that, you know, it's a good thing because this, in case you're not familiar with Folding at Home, we've mentioned it almost every episode since it began. What this is basically the university is, you kind of dial into the university, basically. Stanford University, I believe is what it is. And you dial into there, they will send you some information, and your PS3, when it's in the idle mode, and you can do this with your home computer as well, will process all that information that all of their computers can do, but it takes all these different types of information and stuff like that, and all these people doing all these calculations and things like that, and then it sends the information back to the university, and they use it to help people study of it's to continue the studies of Alzheimer's and other diseases as well.
Alzheimer's, cancer, AIDS, you know, all sorts of.
And so it's there to help. And I'm proud to say that I am leading the Evil Avatar team.
Are you really?
I am. There's another guy below me. He's just a few hundred points below me.
Yeah.
But he had to play Oblivion and I didn't. And so he kind of dropped in there. But I am sitting at top. So
awesome.
I'm helping
good
him out.
You.
So. Anyway, that's great for them. What do you have?
Oh, well, I was listening to you talk. Well, Blizzard's has announced that they're going to announce a game next month, a new game. Blizzard, of course, the company responsible for World of Warcraft and the Warcraft franchise, as well as StarCraft and Diablo.
Right, right.
Now, they're announcing it in South Korea, which is the South Koreans are absolutely infatuated with the StarCraft game. I think something on the order of like 90% of the population has played StarCraft.
Yeah.
They hold tournaments on television. It's absolutely insanely popular over there. So Speculation is that maybe it's StarCraft 2.
And I think it will be.
That would be good. They need to bring something else out.
You know, Infinity Ward did the same thing, the makers of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
They announced Sunday.
That they're going to announce a game?
That they're going to announce something on Saturday. They announced this past Sunday, hey, we've got an announcement on Saturday, so make sure.
And I would like to announce now that tomorrow I will have a comment about that.
Well,
on the forums.
You can go ahead and have a comment about it now because it actually, it lets slip. And I don't know who's got the story, but I'm going to look for it here. Basically, it's going to be on ESPN. Odd place for the announcement to take place. ESPN, you'll see a commercial for it during the NFL draft or whatever. I think you've got the story over there.
That confuses me.
It's Call of Duty Modern Warfare. So they're leaving the World War II scene of the games and moving into Modern Warfare.
All right. I guess they're reaching their target audience somehow on ESPN.
Don't know.
Okay.
But that is that's what you're going to hear from me.
I think
you've got the article over there. It's not going to give you much more information than that, though. So, wait a second. I didn't grab all my information up here. Oops. You gave me a lot of stuff, man.
Well, I took half of it.
I don't have the voice to do this today.
Well, if you see anything you think you want, I just split it in half.
Okay. What do you have? Let's go back and forth.
Well, I'm flipping through some really dumb stuff here, like Halo 3 will sell consoles, says Microsoft.
I mentioned that. It's from
do
the well-dud department. Exactly.
Yeah.
Microsoft says Halo 3 will increase our console sales. You know what?
Now, Nintendo.
Every game you release is going to help increase your console sales. obviously Halo 3 is going to do the big thing, but don't forget GTA 4.
That's
going to do some stuff, man.
Also.
Yeah.
So Nintendo bought developer Monolith Soft, responsible for the Xenosaga series. I guess that's somewhat interesting.
Well, Nintendo hasn't bought a developer in a while.
That's true. They haven't.
Have they ever bought a developer?
Yes.
I'm sure they have. I just don't remember the last time it's been done.
I can't remember either.
That's a big
thing.
It's
been a while. I don't know. I haven't really cared much for the Xenosaga series ever since, well, it became Xenosaga. It started its life as Xenogears under Squaresoft, and then the creator left and wanted to tell his story because Square wasn't interested in telling it. So he had to kind of reimagine it, and it became Xenosaga. And it's one of those long, lengthy, let's talk a lot and be real preachy kind of franchises.
Yeah. Not the kind that I've really
interested in. Some people really dig it. So.
I'll tell you what, we're going to hit this news story here, and then we're going to go to a break real quick. E3 this year, it was at one time, well, as of last year, it was the video game event, basically, the Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Yep.
And they decided to restructure it for whatever reason. Do you remember the reasons? That it was because a lot of the distributors just weren't happy with, not distributors,
well, from what
but
I understood,
the
They said there wasn't a need for it anymore. It started off as a way to get the video game industry its own place for the press to really look at what was going
on. It did that.
Because back in the days of the Consumer Electronics Show, when that's where they showed their stuff, they got sent outside into the little tents even when it was raining. And Consumer Electronics Show didn't really respect the video game industry. So it was their way of showing, hey, we've come into our own. And now that's kind of understood. So they decided they didn't need a huge event like E3.
Well, it exploded. You know, the amount of people.
It outgrew itself.
It's that whole thing of they'll let anybody in here these days. And basically, they did. And there was a ton of people. So they restructured. And from having.
Sorry.
Knocked that microphone around. In comparison to what happened last year, I'm trying to find the number that I had on it. Last year's event, there were 400 companies represented at E3. This year, 32.
Well, they
companies.
Cleared out the Kintia Hall.
That it's was not even going to be there.
They cleared out all the, you know, little Korean developers you've never heard of, which was, to me, the best part.
Yeah.
All their weird little, you know, steampunk RTS games. And
that's where Guitar Hero was. That's where that was.
Goddess of Love in the form of a flower. Was weird stuff, but it was some of it was
that's where
really
some of the best
looking.
Stuff came from, though.
Yeah. Was, and we never saw it again, though, unfortunately.
But yeah, it's dwindled down to 32. The attendees are going to fall dramatically from over 60,000 in 2006. 60,000 people. It's only going to have around 3,000 to 4,000 invitation-only people attending this year's event. I don't really know. We're going to PAX. So in August in
PAX is where it's at
in Seattle. So we're headed to PAX this
Penny
year.
Arcade
so.
Expo.
All right. Well, that's it for that segment. Anyway, we're going to come back with more news here in just a bit with In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. And welcome back to In-Game Chat, episode 13, here on 1170 WACV. We've got Jeremy in here, Straxus.
Hello, hello.
Who has picked a gamer tag.
Yes, I did.
He picked one for his Xbox.
By the way, I haven't told you the latest thing I found out about that.
What do you...
Because Straxus was taken.
Well, hang on a second. You're getting an Xbox 360.
I'm getting an Xbox 360.
Coming probably Monday.
Cool.
Because he's got to get his Sunday, but he won't be there to transfer all his stuff or anything like that.
I'm getting a used one off a guy that's getting an Elite.
Right, right. Fishbang, James, Fishbang. If you've heard him on the show before. And so the thing was is that you'll probably get it on Monday, and you had to pick out a gamer tag.
I had to get a gamer tag.
And last week we tried to get Straxus, and it was taken.
Straxus is taken, which I looked up, whoever's using Straxus looked up their gamer tag.
Yeah.
Never been used. Nothing on it.
Well, they did exactly, you know, they Well, let me tell you this. When everything switched over to the 360 and everybody got these achievements,
mm-hmm.
Matt or Garrett, Bullet Food?
Yeah.
I've got his gamer tag from when he was on the original Xbox using Xbox Live.
Mm-hmm.
When that went to the 360, obviously it shows it's inactive. He's not been doing anything with it. So this guy, whoever has your name, could have been
using it back in the original Xbox.
Yeah, yeah, and he just hasn't gotten a 360 yet.
Okay, well then I feel a little bit better about that.
So it's not necessarily that he's not using it at all.
Okay,
do you remember if it was gold or silver?
I don't know.
You don't remember? All right. Well, it doesn't matter. So go ahead.
I finally opted for the name Straximus.
Yeah. Why is that?
Oh, all right. Fine. Straxus was a character in the Generation 1 Transformers comics. He only appeared in two issues of the U.S. comic. Apparently he was in the U.K. comic a little bit more often. But it's something that not many people should be that aware of, but apparently there's enough, you know.
Well, Informus, was
other people are using the
name. Was he Autobot Decepticon?
He was a Decepticon.
Okay.
He was in the comic book, the one who was ruling over Cybertron after Megatron and Optimus and the others left.
And we'll talk about Transformers coming up probably in our third hour when we go over some movie stuff.
Maybe I thought Straximus was still a very Transformers-sounding name and derived from that.
Right.
Only added two letters, an I and an M.
Right.
And it sounds, you know, still very,
and it still works. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I can still call you Strax and not have to worry about it.
Now I'm just trying to decide whether to change everything else over to that as well or keep using Straxus everywhere.
I don't know. Also joining us right now, Zilla is in the booth there. Say hello. I've got your mic turned on.
Hello.
There you go. She's here to answer your phone calls, 334-272-9228. As of late, she really hasn't had to do that. So call in, talk to her if you want to. Back to the news. What do you have?
Discs of Tron is coming to Xbox Live.
This is Tron, man.
This is one of the best 80s arcade games ever.
You're both happy and sad about this.
Yeah, I'll get into why I'm sad later.
Okay.
No point in bringing that up now because we'll go on for 30 minutes.
We will.
But yeah, that was... most people, when they think of the Tron game, remember the one with the little stick and the knob, and you played tanks, and you shot the spiders, and it had the four games in it. Well, Discs of Tron was supposed to be the fifth game in there.
Right.
They didn't make it in. And they eventually released it as a separate game, and it was far better than anything in the first one. You had a guy on the far end, and you closer, and you threw the discs and tried to knock each other off the little platforms, and man, it was very, very fluid and fun, and it still holds up even today. So it's going to get the usual Xbox Live makeover, and I hope it'll have some sort of
multiplayer?
Player versus player.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're really good at that. Let's see. Also, in the news this week, Grand Theft Auto. Some of the guys working on Grand Theft Auto 4 answered 25 questions. Now, none of those 25 questions, save for maybe one, was really important. and that was flying. So flying is in the game. It's helicopters, actually. Let's see. What else do we have? Let's see. Planes are out, but helicopters are in. Property purchasing will also probably be handled differently than in the previous titles. Let's see. The eating and working out to change your appearance elements that were in San Andreas, where you had to eat and go work out and it would, you know, help your stats and stuff like that. I understand. They've been removed, so, and I'm glad. And some of the driving elements have been changed as well, but the big one on that one is that flying is in the game. We're very pleased with that. Are you still looking? You want me to keep going?
Oh, just something to gloss over real quick. Apparently, Nintendo profits are up 77%. And
that's almost in the well-duh department, isn't it?
Yeah. The Xbox 360 division revenue has gone down
20%. It has.
So
it has. Like, I mean, I understand that. Like, that Microsoft in, I guess you could say, the PC department, they've been doing fine with their software and stuff like that. However, in their entertainment division, their games division, things like that, down. It's kind of down for them. So, but they're nowhere near the PS3 status.
Oh, apparently, well, no wonder. The 360 division also handles the Zune.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
No wonder.
That makes a little bit more
there's
sense.
Your drop-off. That's what it is, your Zune.
Those aren't moving.
No, they're not. Oh, excuse me. I hate to do this to everybody when I cough like that. The Pirates of the Caribbean game, the beta is now open on that, and it's an online, what is it? It's like an MMO. It's an MMO pirate game.
Pirate game. That's worth checking out.
The beta is now open, so there you go. Just look around for that.
Anything
if you'd
like to. That's not swords and elves and gnomes and knights and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, pirates, man.
It's some
pirates
good stuff.
Pirates are fine. Sony, at least the Japanese division, is going to be releasing a PlayStation 1 title.
This is cool.
Every week on the PS3's, what is it? Is their online thing or I don't see it here.
Their online store.
Wow, that's got to be a pretty big download in some cases.
Well, not
in all, because most of it's music and video, which can be compressed a lot.
But the point of that is they're releasing one for every week that the PS3 has been on out on the market.
Ah, nice.
So in one day, I think it's going to have like 23 titles.
Yeah, and the titles they listed here all have Japanese names, so I have no idea.
But that's still a great idea.
You know? It is a fantastic idea. That's great.
And speaking of, when you're talking about the PlayStation Store, just recently here it was announced that the Virtual Console passed 3.3 million downloads. The Wii's Virtual Console passed 3.3 million downloads. So that's pretty impressive as well, and good news there. We talk a lot about exclusivity,
yes.
And mainly we talk about PS3 games that are exclusive moving over to the Xbox side of things or wherever they go. Something that was formerly 360 exclusive, a game called Crossfire and another game called Kane and Lynch are now headed over to the PS3. So I printed that out because I said, I thought about not covering it. I'm like, well, whatever, we're not really talking about exclusive stuff this week. But then I thought, no, we've always talked about when a game is going from the PS3 to the 360, I think because it's a bigger deal anyway.
Yeah.
360's really got nothing to lose with, you know, a game going over to the PS3 side of things. So I just thought I'd mention that. So, did you see where the PC game sales were down?
Yeah, that's because everybody bought Burning Crusade has it now.
I was about to show you that.
Yeah.
Burning Crusade fueling PC gaming resurgence?
It's not a PC gaming resurgence if it's only one game that people are buying. And
right.
An expansion packed at that.
And that's all they're playing.
Yeah.
So it may have a surge, obviously, because it was released. After that, the numbers dropped because everybody got it.
Sorry, that doesn't reflect the state of the PC gaming industry.
No.
It reflects the state of World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
That's about it.
And that's what's leading the PC.
Yeah.
That's it. That's their flagship.
A lot of people got real excited about that. Oh, PC game numbers are up. Well, yeah, it's World of Warcraft released an expansion pack.
That is exactly the point.
And now they're like, oh my God, it's down 26%. Well, of course it is.
Yeah. Oh, what else do you have?
Call of Duty. Infinity Ward announced that...
that's what we were talking about.
Have they announced it or did it just leak out?
It kind of leaked.
Okay. That the next Call of Duty game was going to be Modern Warfare.
Right, we were talking about that.
As opposed to World War II, which is good because...
Does it say in there
why? I had enough World War II.
Does it say in there about it releasing or them announcing it during ESPN's draft or whatever?
Yeah. The game's trailer is being debuted on ESPN during the NFL draft on Saturday.
Yeah. No reason why is given, is there?
I don't understand that.
Yeah. Oh well. Their choice, you know, if they want to do that.
Yeah. It's somehow. We already covered that, and for some reason I was thinking you and I had just talked about that, but we actually talked about it on the air.
Yeah, we did.
Sorry.
That's all right. Speaking of new game releases, apparently we talked about this a couple of weeks back as well. The Rev64 website, that new Tom Clancy thing, where it's it's all being cryptic and whatever. Apparently, that's going to be a new Tom Clancy game called End War. Ubisoft is introducing Tom Clancy's End War, being developed by their Shanghai studios. They developed Ghost Recon, Rainbow Six, and the Splinter Cell series,
all
the Tom Clancy
very
games.
Good games.
It's scheduled for release on next generation consoles around October of 2007 to October 2008 next year. Oh, basically, it doesn't really give you much information. First look June issue will be of Electronic Gaming Monthly will be your first look, world exclusive first look of what End War will look like. It's going to be on newsstands May 8th of 2007 here. So pick it up. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be some interesting stuff. Rev 64, obviously dealing with the end of the world type stuff. It was quoting Bible verses and things like that, and End War matching in with it. So nobody has said that this is a direct relation. They haven't said that. Oh yeah, remember that website? This is what it's a part of.
That's the only thing it could be.
This is it. I haven't been back to the website to see if that's what it is, but you know, that's it. That's exactly what it is. So.
Yeah. So you saw the screenshots of the new Crackdown downloadable content.
Yeah, I did.
A bunch of little dune buggy type things that people are driving around in.
And soon you'll get to experience that, you 360 owner. Your future 360
well,
owner here.
Crackdown's going to be my first game. So.
And that's a good game to go with. That's a good game
it
to go
looked
with.
Like a lot of fun.
It is. And they're bringing in some new stuff there, and one of that could be dune buggies. And there's been some talk over that picture. You can't see it in that print-off there, but... if you can find the picture of the dune buggies, if you can find a really, really good resolution, really big picture of it, look at the lead buggy. It looks like there may be two. A lot of people said, ooh, there's four buggies, so you're going to have four-player co-op racing and all this other stuff in it. if you look at that lead buggy that's way in the front, mm-hmm. there are some really offsetting things about that buggy that looks like there may be two in that shot instead of just the one, which mm-hmm. could mean five, which kind of throws numbers off and says, all right, maybe it's not co-op anymore. Maybe it's a race mode or something like that. We don't really know. The content's coming out, and we don't know when the content's coming out, but it's due out. So there you go. So what else you got?
Oh, running out of stuff here.
I'm running out of voice. Project Gotham 4, we have some racing. We have some details on that racing game. Kevin, who is Hogstervelli in the chat room there, he pre-ordered his Elite, and I'd love for him to call in later and tell us about his I don't know, his little process of going through that, or you know why he's getting it and that sort of thing. I didn't. You and I talked about this, and I know we're running on a tangent here, but. When you told me last week that you were getting a 360,
yeah,
I said, okay, now we just need to get Kevin. And you're like,
he's not going to get one.
It'll be a while before that happens. One week later.
He's jumped on.
And he's jumped on. So, in fact, he just said in the chat room, yeah, he's getting his first
game.
He's
also getting Crackdown.
His first game will be Crackdown as well. And so I know he loves the sim games, which is why I was talking about that. So Project Gotham Racing 4 coming out later this year. It is a sim game. I bought it and returned it because I'm not really a sim kind of guy with the racing games. I like my cars to defy physics. So I don't like my cars to live in the real world. I like my cars to live in the world of Michael Bay.
You have to mention him in front of me, don't you?
I like him.
Yeah.
He's a fan of mine. No, I'm a fan of his, and he's a favorite of mine. What else you got?
So Pokemon Diamond and Pearl came out for the DS.
Oh my, yes.
Last week.
And there's really no surprise here, but it's still kind of big news.
And it sold 1 million copies.
1 million.
Yeah.
In 5 days. Pokemon, man.
Well, I got to tell you, I've only played Pokemon once, and only for a very little bit. It was because...
So for me, it's Michael Jackson, and for you, it's Pokemon.
Well, a friend of mine...
I still get the wrong end of the stick on that deal.
A friend of mine came into my store, we had the game store, and at the time, Pokemon Stadium had just come out for the Nintendo 64. And he wanted to see it, and he saw it, and he started going crazy and like going, yeah, Bulbasaur's my boy! And I'm like, what? Because he's like...
That's another soundbite I got to take.
He's, you know, this like really kind of hardcore, you know... I don't know. He's not the kind of guy you'd picture having anything to do with
boy.
Pokemon.
See that,
it was really strange. So he's like, yeah, I just picked up Pokemon. He's like, you can't tell anybody about this. He's like, but it's a great game. And so I had to like pick it up, put it in, and try it out. And it turns out that the original Game Boy game was actually, you know, a really decent RPG.
Yeah, I heard a lot of good things about it.
Didn't have any of the like really gross. Stuff that the cartoon and over kiddified.
Because it's Game Boy, man, and they can't do much as far as, you know, what
it
looks like.
It was a really solid game. I wasn't in the mood to play an RPG right then, so I never really played it, but it looked like it. I could see why it was a lot of fun. And apparently, a lot of people grew up playing it. People that played the original Pokemon are now, like, in their 20s.
And they're still playing it, I think.
Yeah. Well, like, I was reading through on Dig when it was released, and there's guys like, yeah, man, I feel like a dirty old man fighting off these little kids to get my copy of Pokemon for the DS. Or like, yeah, man, it's a lot of fun. I love it, but I have to kind of like hide what I'm playing because I'm real ashamed. I'm like, so
we didn't really run into anything like that, did we? As we were growing up,
I've never really been ashamed of any of the games that I played.
Yeah,
just because they have pretty colors or whatever.
But would you? Let's say, put yourself in that guy's shoes. Would you? Would you feel a little bit indifferent or no?
No, I mean, I carry a pink DS, so I think the answer is no. I actually asked Becky if she wanted to pick up the Pokemon stuff and try it out, because she'd get one version, I'd get the other, and we could, you know, swap stuff back and forth, might be fun.
Yeah.
She only seemed mildly interested, so I don't know if we'll do that or not.
Moonwalker.
You know, but that's not something that, like, hit in my childhood, you know? Something I grew up with.
Yeah.
It was just, but it was a man turning into a robot. That was the draw. And the fact that he could throw his hat and kill people. That was the draw for me on that game.
I'm sold.
And he had a weird thing where he like leaned but didn't fall over. but that was. But I'm just saying, like when we were growing up, let's take your love for Transformers for instance. I feel no shame.
Not a bit.
Picking up a train because it's a car. It's not.
It's a robot.
It's not Jigglypuff. You know, it's not something that sings and does weird things. Whatever the Pokemon stuff does. You know, or growing up on comic books. That's obviously another one that you have there. I'm just trying to think of something from our childhood that we would be ashamed of maybe today to be, or not really ashamed of, but kind of like, oops, I feel a little weird, you know.
Well, maybe if you liked Jim and the Holograms or Rainbow Bright.
But they're not still around today.
Whoa. Let's not go there. There's no shame in that.
Not if you're a girl.
Not if you're a girl. But they're not around, though. They're not around still today.
I mean, there's you know, iterations of all that 80s stuff. I mean, not cartoons and movies and video games of it, but
well, it's
of course I actually do work with a guy that is actually still a fan of Jim and the Holograms, so
we don't have to mention
who
his name. No, we don't. Oh, okay, I thought you said who is it. No, yeah. We don't have to mention the name here. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back wrapping up our news segments here and then go into some of the meat and potatoes of tonight's show, and we'll tell you yeah, whatever, I don't know, but anyway, it's all coming up next right here on 1170 WACV and In Game Chat. I don't think we've ever played that before.
Probably not.
I think that was the first one we've ever, first time we've ever played that cut. So interesting. Anyway, welcome back to the main chat here on 1170 WACV. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can give us a call 334-272-9228. I know Zilla is in the booth back there, waiting to hear from you. Even if you don't even want to, she's gotten calls, but she I don't know. the phone's ringing. I've seen it ring, and I've seen her pick up, and then it's just like, nope, okay, bye, click. She hangs up. So, all right. Whatever the case. But anyway, you can give us a call. You can also check us out in the chat room. We are, what do we got going on in the chat room over there? Let's see. Dave is in there. We've also got Slipstream. Phil, our good buddy Phil, who hosts Evil Avatar Radio, which directly follows ours. And he gives us free plugs, and it's just really nice that he does that. Phil Kefkaterin, he's in there. Kevin, Hogstervelli, we've also got myself and Straxus, user 89 in the chat room, along with Fishbang, who Straxus is getting a 360 from probably Monday. So I'm going tonight after the show to pick up my 120 gig hard drive.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Good deal.
Let's get back into the news here real quick. What do you have left over there?
There's not a lot left. Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney 4. Shipped 500,000 copies in 1 week in Japan when it came out.
That's no real surprise, is it?
No, it's pretty big over there.
Yeah, it is.
And I know Becky's looking forward to 3 and 4 coming out over here.
Right, yeah.
She loved those.
What do I have over here? Let's see, Bioshock. Interesting stuff here. I'll give you some backstory real quick. Bioshock's due out for the 360, I think just the 360. And the developers of the game said that, you know, if you want a limited edition, then let us know. If you can get this many people to sign a petition, sure, we'll do a limited. Well, boom, they had that many people in no time to do the petition. So they did the limited edition. Then they said, well, hey, why don't we let you guys vote on what you want in the limited edition? Well, yeah, sure, we'll do that too. And some good stuff got in there, and I'm trying to see what all is going to be in there. I don't have that of what's going to be in there. Some really cool stuff will be. However, the limited edition is going to be limited in the such that you can only buy it from either GameStop or EB Games.
Nah, I can't say I'm really surprised about that.
Now, the folks over at 1UP spoke with 2K Games to find out why this happened. Elizabeth Toby is her name. Typically, we would have started a limited edition 6 months ago, but even with our looming production deadlines, we're trying to listen to the community and the fans in choosing the contents based on the poll and in designing the front of the box. With our current timeline, I don't think we could make 500,000 copies of the limited edition to get out to every retailer, just given production times on that figure on the figurine. There's going to be a figurine inside of it, so good stuff. So we're looking at a very limited quantity, and we were fortunate that GameStop and EB would pick it up on such a short notice.
Now, is it the? Do you know if it's the 360 and the PC version that are getting a limited edition, or is it just one or the other?
Hang on, let me turn your mic on over there. Dennis has joined us.
I believe it's
Whoops, not the wrong mic.
Wrong mic.
Okay, are we on?
All right. Yeah, there
he is.
I believe it's just the 360 version.
I believe, yeah, it's only the 360 version. So they're making a short supply of them, so it's only going to be available from GameStop and EB Games, which, you know, I can understand that, because they were late in the game on doing this limited edition, and they can't make enough to really, really get it out there. However, why do it through EB and GameStop? Why not just do it online? Why not just buy it online from the directly from them? I'm sure 2K Games has a store somewhere you can buy their stuff from, so I don't see why not. But anyway, that's their decision. Your turn.
let's see. Apparently Nintendo currently has 45 Wii titles in development and about 80 DS titles.
That's a lot.
That's a lot, and still nothing out right now.
Yeah, no, I was about to say, I wish some
plenty of stuff for the DS. I have a huge DS collection. But yeah, it would be nice to see some of that stuff finally come out, so I have something to play on it.
I don't know if you have it over there, but I remember reading earlier today, Kojima got a chance to play Brawl and said it's nearly complete.
Yeah, he said it looks finished to him.
Yeah, which, like, well, okay. Come on.
Yeah, no. Please. You think they're gonna release that here? And I mean, I understand in the drought. Okay, first, they're not going to release any heavy hitters, which Brawl is,
mm-hmm.
while there's still this big of a demand for Wii consoles. Next thing, they're not going to do it in such a drought of gaming. They're going to, it's that holiday season, man.
Yeah.
That's what they're going for.
We'll probably see Galaxy come out.
Metroid got pushed, what, next year, or is it late this year?
Late this year.
Yeah.
If they are to be
your Christmas season, man. Probably for the next, probably starting in probably October or November, you could probably buy a Wii game every week leading up to Christmas. That is going to be a decent buy.
Yeah, we're all going to be broke for, you know, those 3 months right there.
Yeah. Compared to that, and then you've got Halo 3, you've got GTA 4, you've got, for me, you've got numerous PS3 titles that should be seeing some decent releases for around the holiday season. So it's going to be a busy time. We were talking about a drought here. One little shining glimmer of hope is Forza 2 coming out on the 360 here on May 29th. That's a release date. The demo will be available on the marketplace here very, very soon. They haven't given a date on that yet. But it'll be announced here pretty soon. But Forza 2 is another sim racer, and it's another reason that Kevin, we're getting Kevin into the 360 family here. So, what else do you have?
Nothing else.
Have you got nothing else?
No.
We've got two more minutes to fill. Well, okay, fine then. Well, let's see. When we come back, we're going to be talking a lot about we got some movie news coming up. But we'll save that for the third hour. Coming back though. We're going to talk about Sony losing a legend of a man.
Ken Kutaragi.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I was going to screw it up so bad.
You've screwed it up every time you've said it tonight.
Kutagari, Kutajiri, Kutagitei. I don't know. But anyway, so they lost him this week. He is leaving in June, and we're going to talk about that.
And we'll also talk about what you might face if you are a current Xbox 360 owner looking to upgrade to the Xbox 360 Elite. There's some issues you really, really need to be aware of before making that purchase decision.
There are, and I know those are issues you would like to address. It's right up your alley. and then also, I would love to talk to you about when you own Planet Games. You owned your own video game store.
Yeah.
And how long did you own it for?
5 years.
5 years you owned the store. And so I'd love to talk to you about... there was an article that you posted in Mouselook about
why independent game stores
just don't make it
succeed.
Yeah, and we're going to go over all of that here coming up in just a bit. In fact, about 6 minutes after the top of the hour here, we'll be back with more of In Game Chat here on 1170. Welcome back to In-Game Chats. And that's Mega Man music right there.
Always got to get some Mega Man in there.
Yeah.
Well, you got 6 tracks of it as opposed to the others.
Yeah, so I was going
to
say.
You need to label them and import the other stuff as well.
I do. I've got them on a CD in my bag back here, but yeah. Welcome back to In-Game Chat, episode 13. And we are in our second hour now. That first hour kind of flew by, actually.
Yes, it did.
That's good. Because, I'm feeling the nasties. I got sick throughout the week, actually, and so the voice is kind of lacking tonight, and just the energy. So, Thank goodness I have more than just me in here, because that would suck. But anyway, so thanks for joining us here on 1170 WACV. We are online in the chat room. Tons of people in there, actually. More than there was earlier, I think about three. Tons more people in there. We've got Silversmith in the chat room with us. We've got Dr. Finger, who is also in the chat room. Doc D, a couple of doctors, huh? Turbo Kenny, Fishbang has joined us. User 89 in there. Straxus, myself, Kevin, Hawk Cervelli, Kev Kateran, that is Phil, Slipstream, and Dave, all in the chat room. So hello, everyone in the chat room. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can join us, too. Head on over to mouselook.com or evilavatar.com, and there are links right there for both at both places for the chat room. So join us in there and say hello. Let's see. Big news this week. I know we were going over the news of the week, but the big, big, big news this week, other than the fact that they may have found a planet that, you know, could sustain life, or is it kind of like Earth? Which I'm really excited about.
Yeah,
I'd love,
man.
3 hours only, isn't enough.
It's only 20 light years away.
Yeah.
That's very, very close.
Man,
when
that's
you think
rock
about
throwing.
Extrasolar objects.
Yeah, when you're talking about that sort of thing, it's you know, binoculars, neighbor type stuff. And I'd love to get into that, but my focus on this hour was going to be in the in Sony. And their...
We'll still talk about it.
We'll still try and get in the planet stuff, too. It's really
too exciting
cool
not to
it
talk
really
about.
Is. Yeah,
it's
it
really
is.
It's really neat.
But go ahead and just give us the lowdown. What's going on?
All right. Ken Kutaragi, for those who don't know, is the man who invented the PlayStation.
Yeah.
A long, long time ago.
Now, that's a big deal.
It is. It is a really big deal.
That is a big deal.
A long time. The PlayStation started its life off as the Super Nintendo CD-ROM.
Right.
Nintendo contracted Sony to develop a CD-ROM add-on for the Super Nintendo, like Sega had the Sega CD. They eventually told Sony that they weren't interested in developing this with them, and they were going to partner with Philips instead. And Sony was like, okay, well, we're still going to make this, and we're going to make it a CD-ROM-only system. Nintendo's like, yeah, whatever. So anyway, our new thing with Philips, blah, 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 which they also
didn't do anything. Of course, didn't Philips come out with it? Did they drop Philips? And Philips is like, well, we'll do it with the 3DO then. Fine.
Philips didn't develop the 3DO, actually.
Oh, that's Panasonic. That's right. That's Panasonic.
Panasonic manufactured some. I don't remember Philips did or not, but there were a couple companies that... Oh, Gold Star was one.
Right, right.
Because the 3DO company developed the 3DO,
yes.
But it was manufactured by other companies.
Okay.
Anyway, we're getting off topic.
We do that frequently.
Yeah, we do. We should have called the show off topic.
That was one of the names, wasn't it? Off topic was going to be my. It was going to be.
And
one of
there
those,
we but. Go again.
we're off topic again, aren't we?
This is what we do best. So where were we? Sony. What's kind of interesting about that is Nintendo basically created their own competition,
yeah.
The thing that would unseat them as king of the video game industry, really. And knocked them down in the third place for a long time. Anyway, they went ahead and developed the PlayStation, and Ken Kutaragi was the guy who developed it. He is on the hardware end of things, as opposed to like other gaming icons like Miyamoto at Nintendo, who is a game god, makes the software like Super Mario Brothers and Legend of Zelda.
Which, by the way, he got into Time's Most 100 Influential.
Awesome.
People.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I want to order one of those Miyamoto t-shirts off of ThinkGeek. It just has this big smiling face on it.
Yeah, he's one of the nominees. So there you go. And then it's got all his stuff in here as well. But yeah, so.
Well, Kutaragi been trying to get Sony into the video game industry for
interestingly
a while.
Enough, he's not in the Time 100 Most Influential.
But he saw a lot of potential. Basically, I think the story goes he watched his daughter play video games on the Nintendo, the original Famicom,
right.
8-bit Nintendo, and saw the potential that was there. He got it. He understood it and wanted Sony to get into that. It took him years to convince them to. So they developed the PlayStation, and he was a bit of a visionary. He made a system at the time that excelled at doing 3D graphics,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to Sega at the time, who developed yet another 2D arcade-style system, the Saturn. He knew where the future was headed.
Yeah,
and
it's interesting that because you would have Sony came into what was dominated by obviously Sega and Nintendo at the time, There was no Microsoft as far as the console console market.
Nobody believed Sony was going to be successful.
I was going to say,
like,
and Sony comes in and it's like, Sony?
Yeah.
Yeah. I
laughed. I was in either 7th or 8th grade at the time, and I remember looking in old EGM magazines, and I saw, like, the picture of the PlayStation, and I laughed, and I laughed, and I laughed. I was like, that looks like the stupidest thing I've ever seen. It did. It looked terrible. It was an ugly system.
Yeah.
But it was great. It was really good. And just 3 years later, by 1998... Sony Computer Entertainment, which solely consisted of really the PlayStation
brand,
was
it.
Yes.
Was responsible for 24% of Sony's operating revenue.
And this was done.
It's a huge company, and you think about that.
This was done with Nintendo had Mario. Sega didn't have anything to begin with, but they came up with Sonic before the PlayStation.
And by this time, Sonic was well established.
Yeah.
You know.
Sony comes out, they've got nothing.
They had nothing.
They had no mascot. They had no lead.
Yeah.
As far as, like, what can our flagship be? What was their flagship on that first system? Do you remember?
Eventually, Crash Bandicoot.
Well,
but to start off with, there wasn't.
There
anything.
Was nothing. Was there?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, they just kept cranking out good game after good game after good game, and
that looked just tons better than what we were seeing.
They were very friendly to third-party developers. Didn't charge them much, and they were easy to develop for.
Yeah.
They were just. That's how they succeeded.
And it all came from this guy, who is now
leaving.
He's resigning his position, I believe, in June.
But it's kind of interesting to stop and think for a minute what the video game industry might look like if it hadn't been for Ken Kutaragi getting Sony into the video game
industry. Sega would not have probably dropped out. Do you think they would have dropped out?
I don't think they would. Because for a year, the only next-gen system at the time you would have had would have been the Saturn. So the Saturn would have been much more successful than it was. It would have just been the Saturn and the N64.
And the Dreamcast, of course.
Well, that was a generation later.
Right. Well, I understand, but...
Which, if the Saturn hadn't as failed as miserably as it had, they wouldn't have been in the financial trouble they were when the Dreamcast came out and been so dependent on its success. And, of course, if there hadn't been a PlayStation, there wouldn't have been a PlayStation 2 to kill the Dreamcast.
Right.
Which means Sega would still be in the business of hardware. Microsoft likely never would have entered because Sony would never have shown what kind of insane profits you can make in the video game industry.
Yeah.
Which is really the reason Microsoft got in, because Sony got in and did so well.
Which, is again, goes back to the fact that this guy, who some are saying, I understand there's plenty of thoughts and whatnot about why he's leaving.
Yeah. There's
possibly
some conspiracy theories.
There is. And those
maybe
are
he was
exist.
Forced out. Maybe he wasn't. There's really no way to know.
But, you know, he's leaving. This guy who did all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything we've just mentioned, you know, you can the central point that all that stuff came from is this man.
Yeah.
And so, and now he's leaving the company that he didn't start Sony, but he did start Sony Computer Entertainment.
Yeah,
and so he's now leaving this company. This is the equivalent.
Another interesting thing to point out is back in '97. I mean, when he was basically printing money for Sony with the PlayStation, he was favored to become the next president of Sony. Now they kind of had a falling out with him somewhere around 2000.
Yeah,
no, 2003, 2005, somewhere in there. He came out and kind of criticized Sony for their penchant for pushing proprietary formats and locking down things with digital rights management. And if you're Japanese, you don't criticize the company you work for. That does
you don't.
They're an extremely, extremely loyal culture to their companies, and they tend to work there for life. They're not like us. We go job hopping, you know, from one career to another, one you know, place to another. So that didn't go over well at all, which is probably what culminated eventually in his deciding to go elsewhere, because he got demoted actually for that.
Ooh.
I
didn't know that. I didn't know he got demoted.
He did. He's going out to kind of pursue his own thing now, although he still retains an honorary and consulting position at Sony. But Kaz Hirai is now in charge of Sony Computer Entertainment.
Which he's kind of a crazy guy himself.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you have to be kind of crazy to work at Sony. I mean, even Ken Kutaragi's crazy.
Oh boy, is he ever!
He has said some really wacky things.
And the OneUp.com posted some great little quotes of throughout his career that this man said. Some quite, you know, some very good, some incredibly stupid.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, I don't have any particular love or fondness for the man.
Do you have any favorites of things he said before?
The one where he said that we want people to think I will work more hours to own a PS3.
Yeah,
that's my favorite.
That was they're interviewing obviously him about the price of the PS3, and he says, "Well, we want our customers, our PS3 owners, to think that I'm going to work more hours so that I can own this system."
That's a very Japanese thing to say.
You know it is, but and obviously
it doesn't really translate.
That got lost in translation when it came over here. Because
I think a lot of things get lost in translation between Sony and America.
Some things just dumb.
But yes, so
as a corporate, but
it is interesting to look back and see the impact he's had.
You look at a car company; they're going to say, "Well, you know, I know it's expensive, but we want you to work more hours so that you can afford this car." You know?
How about no?
Yeah, exactly.
How about I stay within my means?
I've never
and
seen
I buy
a product.
What I can afford.
I've never seen a single product. Almost, you know, I could almost say worldwide, other than that one time he mentioned it, that somebody's selling point would be, well, if you want it, you just got to work harder to get it.
Wow.
It's just some interesting stuff. But yeah, he did all this. And now he is leaving the company. Lot of people, like I said.
You can carry our thought process a little farther. If Microsoft hadn't gotten into the game industry, there wouldn't really be a good online presence for consoles right now. There wouldn't be an Xbox Live. There would be no centralized place for friends lists and finding friends on servers and talking to them. Achievements. None of that would exist
right now. You don't think somebody would have tried to come up with that or who were already in the running? You don't think...
Maybe a couple of years down the line.
Nintendo obviously hasn't.
But Sega tried with the Dreamcast.
Sega,
I know they tried a little bit of that.
Sega did a little bit of it. They might have gone in that direction a little bit more. But, yeah. It's kind of hard to say.
Yeah.
It's really hard to say what it would look like. But
and so are you happy to see him go? Are you sad to see him go? What are your thoughts?
I am.
Or you just don't, you're indifferent?
Indifferent, yeah, completely.
I mean, I obviously wish him the best of luck. I hope that this is his choice and not him being forced.
Yeah.
I really don't know what he's going to do. Obviously, he's staying on with Sony in some type of capacity, but just not near what he was.
Let's see what it says here. It says...
hand me that sheet that had some of those quotes on there.
Do I have that sheet?
Yes, you do.
Oh. Oh, yeah, here you go, man. Okay, he says, I'm happy to graduate from the Sony Computer Entertainment Inc. after introducing four platforms to the PlayStation family, PlayStation 1, 2, 3, and PSP. It's been an exciting experience to change the world of computer entertainment. Blah, 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 blah. I'm looking forward to building on this vision in my next endeavors. I talk about pursuing new opportunities. I know somewhere I read about what it was that he was interested in doing. This is all they said. He has decided to pursue his dreams beyond PlayStation and to accelerate his network vision. I don't know what that means. But it seems like he's going to probably still play a role in the video game industry somehow.
Yeah.
But I doubt he'll ever have that kind of impact or presence again.
No, and I don't think he will. OneUp, like we were talking about, they compiled some quotes. These are actual quotes that he has said over his years. In January of 2005, he said that, I believe we made the most beautiful thing in the world. No one would criticize a renowned architect's blueprint that the position of a gate is wrong. It's the same as that.
What?
I don't know.
The position of the gate is the same as it costing too much?
Right, that's the thing. Too much. The PlayStation 3 is not a game machine. We never once called it a game machine. That was in May of 2005.
Well, considering what you're folding proteins to help cure diseases, I guess it's not much of a game machine.
Well, it's not doing. I haven't been gaming on that thing. I'll tell you that much. I haven't gamed on that thing. I've watched movies on it, so maybe he's right in that. Until some games come out for it, the Xbox 360 is more of an Xbox 1.5 than a next generation console. There were times when there are some games that actually prove that statement. There are some games on the Xbox 360 that prove that statement right there. However, he's in the wrong. There was your favorite about, I will work more hours to buy one.
And wasn't he also the one that said, next generation doesn't start until we say it does? I don't know
that
if that was him or Kaz.
Kaz said some,
well,
boy.
Kaz has been learning well.
I need some quotes of Kaz, man. Boy, that's some good stuff.
They're both crazy.
There have been internet websites devoted to just things he's said. So,
and I do want to say, if he's not leaving because it's his choice, if he is being forced out because of the failure the PS3 has been thus far, Sony can't blame him. It really wasn't his decision to put the Blu-ray, to force that in there. That was Sony's idea.
Well, yeah.
He's always been against the proprietary format thing. It's what he got demoted for.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be the one that insists the Blu-ray go in there. Sony did it because they want to promote their format. And that's the reason it costs so much. That's the reason it's not selling. So,
but Sony's
if they're forcing him out for basically being right, that makes very little sense, which means I can totally see Sony doing that.
Yeah, I was going to say there's some rules in radio that I could allude to in that regard. However, those rules don't apply with this company because I'll. It's again, we're getting off topic here, but this company that we work for here, Blue Water Broadcasting, is not one of the corporate, you know,
right,
one of those type of companies. And I'll tell you right now that Sony said, "Put this in here." Well, I will, but it's going to cost a lot of money. Do it anyway. I did it. Sony, we're not selling any. Sony says, well, it's your fault.
Yeah, you're the one responsible for this. But you told me
to
do this thing.
But you told me to put it in there.
Well, that's not why it is. It's because of you. You're responsible.
You're,
I can totally
you're
see
nailing
that.
That right between the eyes. That's exactly the whole thing. let's see. One of the things he also said, one of his final things.
I've worked
for
places like that before.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't.
You can communicate to a new cyber city. This will be the ideal home server. Did you see the movie The Matrix? Same interface.
And that was about the PlayStation 2.
He's talking. This was in 2000. This was in February of 2000. Quoted in Newsweek magazine. You can communicate to a new cyber city. Did you see the movie The Matrix? Same interface, same concept. Starting from next year, 2001, you can jack into The Matrix.
Yeah, all of their three games that you were able to go online with. Nah, there were actually more than that. I think it was only three that used the hard drive.
You've given us some great times, Ken. And
yeah.
So
missed those crazy comments.
You know, good luck to you and the rest of your life. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about the 360 Elite. We'll talk about owning your own video game store, and what that is kind of like, and what you may have to go through to do something like that. Word of advice: don't. not kidding, man. But we'll have all that and more coming up next right here on In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV.
It's 1-800-268-3768.
I like that guy's voice. I have to tell him that next time I see him.
A winner is you.
We don't have to do that. We don't have to do that at all. Welcome back to In-Game Chat here at 1170 WACV. And
and Scott's sick.
I am. I'm so sick. And the temperature in this room is not helping any. It is cold in this room. Whew! Anyway, welcome back to In-Game Chat here at 1170 WACV. And I wanted to talk for a bit. You want to go? Let me ask you this. Do you want to talk about your experience owning the store, or do you want to talk about the 360 Elite?
I don't know. Flip a coin. Let's do the 360 Elite.
Okay, let's go into the 360 Elite then. Go ahead with your what you wanted to talk about. You're the one that wanted to talk about it, actually.
Yeah. Okay, so I've watched James kind of fret over how he was going to, you know, get his content transferred.
I was fretting a little bit until Microsoft finally said, okay, here's how it works, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody was giving me really, really straight answers here. So
right.
I was fretting a little bit, not fretting anymore, but continue.
Basically, if you buy the hard drive, then you simply hook up the data transfer cable, move your data, plug the hard drive in, you're done. Everything works the way it should. If you buy an Elite, they'll send you a free transfer cable, but it's not going to work the way it always has after you're done. All your stuff will be over there, but anything you've purchased on the marketplace, you will have to be logged in to the account you purchased it with in order to play it. You'll no longer be able to play it offline. and other accounts on your system will no longer be able to access it and play those games.
Right.
This was also a problem, apparently, because they tie it to the console itself. In order for those privileges to, you know, for the stuff you've paid for to be unlocked. People that have had their systems repaired or actually they replaced have run into the same problem. So Microsoft has a system set up for them, but it's kind of dumb, really, because all they're able to do is you create a new gamer tag. They credit that account for however much you need to rebuy all the stuff on that system, and then you can play it on the other gamer tags and offline
right.
again. But they're not going to do that if you just go out and buy an Elite, because they don't know if, since you haven't gone through a warranty mm-hmm. process, they don't know if you're just putting it on somebody else's machine or not. So
basically,
not out there.
Basically, you need to be aware of a few things if you are a 360 owner currently and are going to get an Elite system and upgrade.
Right. If that's your plan, if you're planning on taking advantage of the EB GameStop, trade in your system, get $250, you know, and put it on an Elite,
right.
you need to understand that anything you bought off the marketplace, you will not be able to play offline anymore. If you have other people in your household with gamer tags that haven't purchased stuff that can play it now, they can't play it anymore mm-hmm. if you move to the Elite. That's the situation. And Microsoft doesn't seem willing to change their stance on that.
Right. Well, their expectancy was they really didn't expect, and I don't know, I don't know the numbers yet of how many people are actually upgrading their system, but they didn't expect a lot of people to be doing this. They didn't expect a lot of previous 360
well,
owners to be buying
really
a 360.
Really dumb.
No, I understand that it is. I understand that it is.
Because that's what video gamers do. They love to upgrade their equipment, buy new equipment. They love to have the latest and greatest thing.
Yeah. Except I'm not doing it. Normally I would be, but I'm not doing it. I don't need it a different color, and I don't have any type of HDMI on my system to worry with.
Yeah.
So that's why it's not going for me, but I am getting the extra the 120 gig hard drive. However, because I'm not switching out my console, I have nothing to worry about in the transfer of my data. So I don't have to worry about that. The thing is that I understand. Now this seems new to me though. So and I'm going to use Zilla and James there, Fishbang, as an example in this. Both of them have Xbox Live accounts.
Yes.
But they only have one Xbox. Now, they purchase an Xbox Live Arcade game. They only have to purchase it once, and both of them can play it. And I'll turn on your mic here so that you can add any input you'd like to. So, there you go. That little noise means she's on. So, they purchase a game. Let's say they purchase, let's choose Luxor for whatever reason. Purchase Luxor, both of them play the game. However, whenever he switches, if he were to do the data transfer mm-hmm. from his old one onto this new console,
yeah, not just the new hard drive. If you get a new hard drive, you're fine.
You get a new hard drive, you're fine. If you get the
new console,
so they get the new console. That means that they cannot play it offline.
Right.
The system has to be online. Now you're telling me that only one of them can play it.
Only the one that purchased it.
So whoever's gamertag purchased the game can now only play that game.
Yes.
That's retarded.
That's DRM, my friend. It's defective by design. And
that's called dumb, retarded media,
yes.
DRM.
What astonishes me is that they didn't build a way into the system to reassign this stuff. Not only that, but they don't have a way to... the reason... And this goes back to, like, the repair thing. The reason you have to create a new gamer tag in that instance for them to give you the credit to re-download your stuff is they have no way to erase the history on your gamer tag of things you've purchased.
Right.
If they did, they could just erase that you had purchased that stuff, you could repurchase it with your existing gamer tag, and then it would be married to your new console. But they can't do that.
Now, what are some ways around this, do you know?
As far as I know, there aren't any ways around this.
Well, there is, I think. And I think James is going to actually try and figure this out. What he is going to do is transfer all his game saves. I've got a memory card. I've got a memory card for the 360. He's going to put all his game saves on that memory card, transfer it. He's not going to do the data transfer.
That's still not going to work. Redownloading all the games on the new system,
yeah.
They will still be married to his old console.
Wow. Okay.
Because that's part of the history. His live account remembers that when he purchased those, they were purchased for that system. So when he re-downloads them, they will still be married to his old console.
Yeah, so he's screwed either way.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Luckily, we don't have a lot of... I'm just lucky that I downloaded Luxor, and I downloaded Zuma and the things that I play.
Well, that's a good thing.
I didn't download Poker, though. I'm just saying, I'm a little miffed about that. But, so there are things... There's not a lot that we both play.
Right.
But
that's
there
what
are
he
things
was telling me earlier.
That we downloaded on his account because we loaded the points card on his account.
Ah.
So I'm pretty sure things, like the first couple games that we downloaded, like Poker and stuff, are all linked to his account. So I'm a little miffed. I didn't know this until, y'all brought it up just now.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Sad.
I guess those you would have to repurchase on your account if you wanted to play. That's sad.
I'll give up my poker habit or something. I don't know. Because it really makes me mad to
repurchase it.
Yeah.
But that's what... with Vista and the 360 marketplace, Microsoft is moving towards. When you buy DRM'd content, you don't own it.
It's amazing
it's
that
not
she
yours.
Can. But it's amazing that she can have game saves registered to her gamer tag from an arcade title.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, when she tries to go back and play it after they do this transfer, it'll say, "Whoa, you haven't done anything with this game."
And you know me, I really hate DRM. So I'm really wary of the marketplace now.
I'm okay with DRM. However, I'm not okay with this aspect of it.
Well, this is why I'm not okay with DRM, because this is what you always end up facing when you have DRM.
I mean, I understand their point of trying to say, look, don't steal this or don't, we want people who play this to pay for it.
Yeah.
However, it's kind of...
If you want to make it hard to copy, so that, like they always do on consoles, you can't just make copies of discs easily and pass them out to your friends. Fine. But if I've purchased something, I want to be able to access it now and forever the way I've always been able to.
Yeah.
And, to cripple me from doing that because I decide to get another system, I don't know.
Decide to pour more money into their coffers.
Yeah, and how many, man, a lot of people are going to buy the Elite that don't know this. They're going to trade them in, get their Elite, get home, and Microsoft's going to be flooded with tech support calls. This is going to be a huge issue for them. And just like, I remember we said something last week about, or maybe the week before, the music industry, like in the online stores, 75% of their calls are about problems with DRM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, that's going to eat up a lot of support costs.
Is this something that
they can afford it?
Yeah, they can afford it. But is this something they can patch?
If they're willing to put enough effort in, sure. But it'll be a big deal. I don't know if they'll be willing to do it. I guess we'll find out.
I don't know either. I understand what you're saying, but
I think it'll be interesting to see how big the backlash is, and to see if Microsoft's willing to do anything to address it.
They should. There should be something. Either
there should be a way to transfer everything to another console.
Well, there should be a way for them because
just like you can do in iTunes.
Well,
you can marry it from a computer and move it to another.
And they do this whenever you buy the iVision camera, you get a code for downloading a free game, Uno or something like that. Got to get Uno.
Not until we get the OE.
I know. But what I mean by that is the fact that Microsoft should be able to go through and look at your gamer tag and say, well, they've obviously played this on their console. This is on the same. This gamer tag is tied to this console that this other guy's gamer tag is tied to. So they've obviously played this. Here's your redeem code. Go back and download it, on yours so that you can play it. Something. I don't know.
I wonder what that's going to look like on Guitar Hero if, Lord help you, you paid for those song bundles.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Because you've played them and they're on your score. And you go load the game, and they're still on your score. But when you hit play, what is it going to do?
Well, we were talking about Xbox Live Arcade. We haven't even scratched the surface on like download content.
Yeah,
content that you paid for, that you downloaded, new maps and things like that.
Right.
I don't know. Is
that
address?
What's that error message?
I can tell you what
out.
This is. The thing is, when you buy this downloadable content, you're not with it. The only exception is your Xbox Live Arcade games. you're actually you're downloading the game, but you're also downloading the license to play the game. With these packs that you pay for, with the Guitar Hero song packs, there's no license that you're buying.
Well, let me ask you this.
I don't think.
If you go to a friend's house and sign in on your account and download those songs, are they going to be able to play them after you leave?
If you download it onto their console, if you it depends on who's...
My guess would be no, because that would be...
No, because you're downloading it to their hard drive. That information, that data is downloaded to their hard drive. However, it's not tied to the console.
Are you sure?
I don't think so.
But that would mean...
I don't know.
That would mean you could come over to my house and I could download anything that you've purchased, downloadable content, maps, or songs, and then I'd have access to it. I just don't see Microsoft being that lenient.
It's linked to the gamer tag, though. It's linked to the gamer tag that downloaded it. So in other words, if I take my gamer tag to your house, mm-hmm. plug it into your 360 and upload my gamer tag, and then download that content, it's linked to my gamer tag. When I go back home with my gamer tag, you will no longer be able to play that content.
Well, there's your answer then. It will be the same thing with people who purchase an Elite.
No. When I plug in my gamer tag, it'll see that, okay, this gamer tag has already downloaded this content. I'd like to re-download it again. And it'll let me do that.
Yeah, but yeah. But it's tied to your console.
But I won't have to pay again.
No, you won't have to pay again, but I won't be able to play it.
No, you won't, because you didn't purchase it.
Right, but they did purchase it, but they both won't be able to play it. It'll be the same thing as the live.
Oh, that's right, because it'll be tied to that gamer tag.
To that gamer tag.
That's right. Oh, thank God you didn't purchase any songs. You're an interesting little part of that, because I don't have anybody play it on my console, so it's always been that single experience.
I think
experience.
There's an awful lot of households that have more than
that
one
that have multiple people
their,
play in their console.
Their console.
You're right. Oh, man. You're exactly right. This is going to be a big thing for them. Hate to end on a downer. But we got to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about independent video game stores, why they aren't successful, and Straxus' own experience in owning one, in running one, and there was a lot of fun had in that store.
Yeah, there was.
So, but we'll talk about that all coming up next right here on In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. I had to change that.
You already played that one time. You've got to label those things.
I really do. Or just have better memory. And which one I pick. It's a lot like memory, because they're all listed the same, so I'm basically just turning over cards and hoping I don't pick the same one twice. Reverse memory.
That's your homework, man. Yeah. You get an F next week if they're not labeled.
Well, if I could stop being sick for a while, I might could get some stuff done. Ugh. So, anyway, welcome back to In-Game Chat here. I don't know what happened with the news there, but it hiccuped.
Who cares?
So, anyway. And I'm about to do the same. Sorry. I can't take deep breaths. It hurts. It makes me cough. Welcome back to In-Game Chat here. I want to jump in right into it because we've still got a few more breaks that we've got to take. So I want to talk to you about 5 years ago. Tell us your story, basically. What prompted you to open your own store?
Well, let's see. Video games have been my thing for a long time, so that was part of it. But James and I and Matt were all working out at Software Etc. at the time.
Right.
And we saw how many people came in looking for imports at the time that was really popular, Japanese imports of PlayStation games and other things. And Dragon Ball Z or whatever. And I'm like, no, we don't have that and don't have any way to get it. And no, I don't know where you can go get that from. And
you can't play it on your system anyway.
It was a thing that happened a lot. Or, wanted to find out how to get a mod chip or some weird, strange device that they had heard of. Some way to play Game Boy games on their PlayStation, So a way to attach PlayStation controllers to their computer. So, we decided to open up a little specialty store. And it ended up just being me, but the idea was imports and used games and strange little niche things that the major stores didn't carry.
Yeah, because obviously you couldn't. You were never. I mean, at the time they can't survive now, but at the time, an independent game store really couldn't survive on trying to sell the same thing that the big stores were selling anyway.
No, it had already. We already knew that, you know, you couldn't compete with them on their level, but we had seen instances of small independent stores taking over the used market in some towns and really dominating at that. But that doesn't really happen anymore. That kind of all came to an end.
Yeah.
Because GameStop and EB eventually realized that's where they made all their money at, was used games. So they made a big push to take that over and make that their main business.
Well, that was the other. Yeah, I was going to say that was the other thing back then, was that nobody had. You didn't like your game, you had nowhere to go with it other than,
well,
you know.
They took used games at the time, but
did they?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was just kind of, that was big recently.
That it wasn't nearly as big as it is now.
Yeah.
It wasn't what they pushed all the time.
Because like you said, that's how they made their
money.
It was
a much, much smaller section of the store than it is now.
Yeah, definitely. So you decided to open it up, and you had come up with, I guess, a type of strategy saying that we're going to offer you these services that the other people don't offer. Your biggest thing was the mod stuff.
My biggest thing was the mods. Installing mod chips so people could play, backups or imports, and I sold a lot of imports.
Yeah. What was your price for installing a mod chip? What did you start at? Did you ever increase?
It was, well, for the original PlayStation, I think it was 15 for the chip and 35 for the install, so 50 altogether.
Yeah.
The original PlayStation mods were pretty fun to install.
Yeah.
They were real simple little chips, just 8 wires at the most. They started off as 4 and gradually had to have more functionality as they started putting out games that could detect them.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Later, though, people started becoming less and less interested in imports. It got to the point people were really only interested in mod chips so that they could play, games that they got from Blockbuster and made copies of. And that wasn't very fun for me.
Yeah.
But it became less and less a part of the business to do the mod chips, but a bigger and bigger part got to be repair. Man, if Sony hadn't made the PlayStation 2 such a failure-prone system, I would have been out of business a long time before I was.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah, it turned into a repair thing.
Yeah.
The mod kind of dropped off.
At any one week, if you came in there, I probably had about 20 or 30 PS2s sitting in the back, lined up for repairs.
Man. I remember walking into your store.
Thousands of PS2s.
And you would see stacks of PS2s on top of each other.
And there might be 3 Xboxes and a GameCube.
Yeah. Just all around your store. I was like, look at all these consoles. You're like, yeah, I got to get to those. But another thing that I noticed there was how some people take care of their consoles.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. Yeah.
There were
holy
some,
crap.
Yeah, there were some doozies there.
I mean, you would open it up and like smoke from people who smoke cigarettes or whatever would just come out of
nasty.
There.
Yeah, some had things living in them.
Oh, man.
Not kidding. The coolest one, though, was the N64 that I couldn't open. I took all the screws out and it wouldn't come apart. Like, what is the matter with this
thing? Dog peed on it.
It looks clean on the outside. But I finally, like, I'm prying at it and prying at it, and then it finally starts coming up and there's this ripping sound. And I get it about an inch apart, and I look in, and it's this.
It was an oyster.
It was a giant spider web matrix that attached every part of it to everything else. I was like, and I thought it was cool.
Yeah, opened up a cocoon.
Yeah. So I was like, James, look at this. He's like, what is it? And I pulled it open, and he flipped out. I had no idea he was arachnophobic.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't I've never seen him react that way. It was great.
Oh, so it's kind of like
he still hates me to bring that.
Yeah,
up.
Well, it's glad we did it here instead of while he was, while he's not here. It's kind of like the way I imagine it that you mentioned it is that scene in Gremlins whenever they would pry themselves open.
Yeah,
and this string of whatever goo and stuff whenever they came out of their
metamorphosis. It was a lot like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just without the smoke and the weird music.
Except it was a lot tougher. I mean, it wasn't gooey. That was some hard stuff.
And they didn't try to kill you either. So, that's really cool. Did you ever take a picture? You didn't take a picture, did you?
I didn't.
You should have.
I really should have.
Oh. So, what's one of the strangest requests you had in the store? If you remember.
I honestly don't remember. The strange stuff was always so off the wall, I could never retain it.
One of the cool things about your store was you had a ton of some retro games.
Oh, yeah.
You had, what was the priciest game you had there? I remember seeing it.
Man.
Was it one of the X titles? Or
I don't know. I know Chrono Trigger went for around 80 for a while, but it was something that was more expensive than that.
There was. I remember it. I don't remember what the name of it was, but I remember seeing more than 80.
I had a sealed copy of Symphony of the Night that I think went for 150.
Wow.
Sealed original Symphony, not Night Greatest Hits, but the original.
Yeah.
I actually got two of those traded in. I've still got one of them.
Yeah. Keeping on to that one. I remember you had an NES game that I was just really enthralled with, and I can't remember what it was. It was a ninja game.
Yeah.
It was at this, and people in the chat room maybe can help me figure out which game I'm talking about. It was an old NES game. The cartridge was pink. Well, the cartridge was actually gray, but the label on the cartridge was pink.
Huh.
Kid Ninja, maybe, was what it was called?
Maybe.
I don't know. The main ninja, he had this black spiky hair. He had a pink ninja robe, and he would throw these whatever, they were stick-looking things at these black ghosts jumping up and down. I don't know what it was.
That's great.
So I don't know. I was just reading the chat room, so
yeah.
Leave it to Disgust Faded.
Yeah, it's good to see him back.
It is. Glad to we can't say that. We'd lose our job. So anyway.
You'd lose your job. I'm not an employee.
Yeah, well, the show wouldn't exist. So anyway, that's one of the other things that you did with your store that I guess you could do with it, and we need to go here in a bit. You kind of turned it into a nice little refuge for all of your friends. a nice little place for them to go to away from home. And it was almost like an internet cafe.
It was very much like that.
It was a hub.
Everybody brought their PCs, and the PCs just kind of lived there.
You'd walk down. It was weird because there was the first floor, which is like a mullet. It's business in the front and party in the back. So you had the business up on the top floor, and then you walk down these stairs, when you open the door, you're pretty high up, and you could see everything, and it's like playground, but with computers at the time, PCs all over the place, all connected, and then there was a back room where the 360, but the Xbox would sit, or the console, mm-hmm. the console couch,
console area.
And everything else, so really cool stuff, and when we come back, which will be 6 minutes after the top of the hour here. I want to ask you
why I don't do that anymore.
Why you don't do that anymore? And we'll get to that here in just a second. Coming up next on In Game Chat on 1170 WACV. Kind of nervous. I thought it might have been something else we already heard. What is this?
Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy.
It's fine. I just chime in there.
That's fine. No, go ahead, because I don't know the words. welcome back to In Game Chat. You're on 1170 WACV. I got Straxus in the studio with us tonight. We've also got Dennis, and we've got Zilla in the booth. The nice warm booth, I must say, because it is cold in this room. And being sick and having a cold is not much fun to be in a cold room, so... Anyway, welcome back to the third and final hour of In Game Chat. Thanks for everybody joining us tonight. Well, I want to say there's a lot of people in the chat room, and I want to just go over who's in there right now before we continue. They are listening, and so it's nice to give them a nice little hello. Dave is in there, also Slipstream. I think Phil changed his name to Kantz. I'm not really sure. But,
no, he's still...
is he?
Kef
okay.
There, and he's
oh, yeah, he did.
There.
There's Kantz. Never mind. I don't know who Kantz is, but hello, Kantz. Hogstravelli, hello. I'm in there. Also, Straxus. We've got Johan123. I like Johan. Some people say otherwise, but I like it. Fishbang is in there. Turbo Kenny, pseudo, Disgustipated also. We've got Seymour
Smith.
Do you like
Disgustipated?
Not really in the biblical sense. Kef Kateran is in there. Showdown 2020. Who's on my friends list? Thanks for adding me. Seraphim is in there. Fitbibits, I said his name right. Some people don't. And Destu is in there as well. So hello, everybody in
hello
the chat room.
Hello, everyone.
Six
hello.
Seconds later, we'll see some hellos as well. Maybe. Don't know. But anyway, thanks for joining us in the chat room, and thanks for listening as well. You can do the same. Head on over to mouselook.com or evilavatar.com. There are links there for you to join us inside the chat room. Moving on. You opened up your own video game store. And it lasted how long? 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years.
Why don't independent video game stores stay around? Why didn't yours?
Well, you know, people ask me a lot why I closed the store. And I usually just give the quick and simple answer. I had a kid and I needed to make more money, which was true. But that doesn't answer the question of why I wasn't making more money.
Right, right.
And somebody posted a link to the DVD Empire website where they explained why they were closing their video game sales division. And some of those weren't applicable to me because they were only applicable to their online sales thing. But some of them were, you know, it did a good job of explaining exactly how things are for independent game retailers. And I'll read from there because they explained it, you know.
No, go ahead. Really, I mean, that's when they put it that way, it was the best way to put it.
You can't make money.
That's like the number one reason why they fail. You can't make money.
It says, you may not care whether or not we make money, but we cannot continue to pay to sell video games. It's impossible for us to make money selling video games. Video game manufacturers set the price using what is called MSRP. And
this is interesting to me, how much you guys make profit off the
games. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They set the retail price at just $5 above the product cost. You buy it for $54.99 and sell it for $59.99. When we sell a game, we make on average 8.3% gross margin, and that doesn't take into account any of the cost to the store of the labor or cost to ship and receive the item.
Mm-hmm.
Only way we can make a profit on an item is to sell it over MSRP, but we're not allowed to do that. Take a $400 console. We only make $5 on the sale. A 0.01% gross margin. The game companies make their profit selling it to us. We make no profit selling it to you.
Right.
And yeah, I remember even when I worked at Software, that was the one thing we didn't get discounts on, was the hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you factored in shipping, we actually, I don't remember if we made any money on the console or if we actually lost a little bit. But yeah, it was bad, and it was I just couldn't carry new game consoles at my store because there was absolutely no way to make money on them. I'd be selling them at a loss, and I eventually quit carrying new games at all. I only ever carried a few, and that's why. I mean, you couldn't make more than a few dollars off of them, and you had to order a bunch at a time, or else the shipping would eat up whatever profit you might have made, and you'd be selling at a loss anyway
because
of the shipping. So their next point, no price protection and game prices drop quickly. Surprise, surprise, we do not receive price protection. Price protection is a way to decrease the risk of purchasing a product that may not sell. It puts the responsibility of producing a quality product in the hands of the manufacturer. When something doesn't sell, the manufacturer reduces the MSRP. If the MSRP falls, price protection would give us our initial investment back. Again, we're not big enough to receive it. We all know how fast games devalue in price,
right.
And this is due to the fact that 80% of the games that are created are crap. So take the fact that we only make $5. Now, if the price of the game drops $20, we're now losing $15 on every sale. And yeah, that was another reason I decided to quit carrying new games, because some of them just would not sell before the price drop. And once the price drop, bam, I'm immediately losing a bunch of money.
Yeah,
I would have to sell 3 or 4 games to make up for that one game that didn't sell before the price drop. It's a losing proposition trying to sell new video games and making money. Their next point, no product returns. This one blows our mind. We're not big enough to return products. The game industry releases many bad games, and word of mouth spreads fast to the consumer. All of those bunk games sit on our shelves. If we do end up selling them, we lose more money due to the lack of price protection.
Right, the price protection thing.
They won't let us return the bombs, so if we buy a bad title, we're stuck on an industry-induced money-losing ride through the land of price drops. Of course, the video game industry, if the video game industry produced quality games, we wouldn't have this issue. And their next point, distribution is dumb. Since we're not one of the top game retailers, we have to buy through a middleman or distributor. First off, this obviously raises the cost of the product, and second, distribution is horrendous for new releases. We get them 3 to 4 days after street date. You can buy it from the store before we can ship it to you. This is completely unacceptable to the customers that pre-order games from us. I had the same thing.
Yeah.
I had to go through a middleman, which means I often bought a $50 game at $47 because they were making $2 off of it selling it to me.
Right.
And it would take them, you know, close to a week to get it to me, which means I couldn't get new releases in before everybody else already was out buying them at GameStop mm-hmm. or Walmart or wherever else. So if I knew that I never did pre-orders because I knew if I did them, people would be upset that they didn't have them on release day because there's no way I could get them on release day.
Yeah.
And they have some other reasons that are really more about being an online retailer. But, yeah, there's just no way. They don't really care about having any kind of independent game stores or supporting them. So
if someone were to open up the their own independent game store, is there a market they need to aim for? Is there an advantage anywhere that they can take away from the bigger companies? Well, is there something the bigger companies aren't doing that an independent game store could do?
It used to be that you could make money doing the used stuff. But here's the problem. Every 5 years new consoles come out, which means that every 5 years, let's say you decide to try and just do used stuff. Well, let's say, you know, I faced this when the PS2 and Xbox and GameCube came out the first time.
Right.
And I had already left by the time this generation came along. But let's say that you've got a decent stock of Xbox and PS2 and GameCube stuff, and all of a sudden the 360 comes out and the PS3 and the Wii. What do people have to trade in for? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to buy a bunch of new games for people to trade in for, and you're going to lose money on those.
Yeah.
Period. You just are. So you have to continue to sink money in to these new titles just to have stock for people to trade in for, to build up a used stock. And by the time you've built up a decent used thing, in a couple more years, new consoles are going to come out, and you got to do it all over again.
Yeah.
So really all that leaves is some sort of service model, which I did by repairing systems. But even that, if I hadn't left the business when I did, I probably would have to leave it now anyway. Because of things like, let's say I repaired somebody's 360 by replacing a mainboard.
Mm-hmm.
Because the mainboard was bad, which was a big problem with the early 360s. There was some warping and stuff, which was what the red lights of doom were all about. If I replaced that, then all of a sudden they can't access any of their marketplace stuff. And they can't get help from Microsoft because they went through me. So things like that would have ended up drying up my last revenue source anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm glad you did it, number one, because we were able to talk about it. And, you know, that's the kind of insight that you just can't get, really. Not very many people open their own little video game store. There's still some mom and pops that exist. I'd love to talk to them and see how they're edging out, what they're doing to kind of...
Hard to find any, man.
Yeah.
I went up to Birmingham a few weekends ago for some Microsoft SQL training. And while we were up there, the guy I work with, Chris, was like, hey, you want to look around and see if there's any game stores, you know, that you want to go to? I was like, man, all there are GameStops and EBs. I pulled out my BlackBerry, did a Google Map search, and I was like, that's it. There's just GameStops and EBs. There's nothing else. And if I walk into a GameStop or EB, I know what I'm going to find there. It used to be with all these, you know, different stores, you could walk in and find all sorts of little gems and stuff, but every GameStop and every EB is the same. You know what to expect when you go in. There's no discovery, you know, of walking into a new store like there used to be.
Rhino Games was a discovery for me.
It was, but who owns them now?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I understand. No, I mean, I'm completely...
Now they're going away.
Rhino Games, I found a great, perfect, pristine copy, still cost me about $40-$50 to buy, mm-hmm. of Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo.
Yeah.
For the PlayStation 2. Not only that, after I got my DS, which is right around the time New Super Mario Brothers came out, actually it was right around the time the DS Lite was released, you could not find a copy of Phoenix Wright anywhere. Went to Rhino Games, independent, well, kind of an independent game chain, I guess you could say.
Independent chain.
And they had a copy. Yeah. I think right there. And, you know, bought it. Traded it in, but I bought it afterwards. So, you know, it was, I don't know. You know, I'd love to ask everybody in the chat room. I'm not sure if anybody is in the chat room listening. But I'd love to ask if anybody has an independent game store around them that they use. And if they do, call us up. We're going to move on to a topic here, but give us a call. Let us know.
Yeah, definitely.
Love to how long the stores,
game store around
yeah,
the country.
Would love to. How long the store's been around? You know, do you use it? Do you not use it? What are your reasons? That sort of thing, and that sort of thing. Would love to know about those. So anyway, we're going to take a break, a real quick break, actually, very short break, and we'll be right back with. We'll jump into what you want to jump into the movie news stuff. We
yeah,
got plenty
sure.
of it to go into. We'll jump into some of that here. That's all coming up next on In Game Chat here at 1170 WACV. I think I picked the wrong song. No, I didn't.
That's good stuff, man. You know, Kevin went to that video game orchestra concert.
Video Games Live.
Yeah.
I don't know if he knew about it or what the case was. I don't even know if he knew it existed before I made the post in Mousela. I noticed, I'm on their mailing list to get, you know, info whenever new dates are added mm-hmm. and new venues are added to the tour. And boom, Columbus, Ohio pops up. And I'm like, Kevin, you've got to go.
Yeah.
Please go because we can't. Go for us. Please. Because I don't know that they're going to come down to the South. And when I say the South, you mentioned they're coming to Florida. I'm not really the South.
It's the regional South.
It is. But it's like Orlando, Florida. You can't come to Atlanta, Georgia? You can't come to Atlanta?
I feel sure that they will eventually.
I really hope they do, especially after his describing of everything that they do. He sold me on the fact that they played some songs from Myst, from the video game Myst. Man, oh man, oh man. I'll go to Orlando. I will go now. I'll go to the next closest place that they come to that's you know, really, I've got to go. I've got to see that.
You know, it's really interesting that the whole video game scene is kind of really catching on in the orchestra world. Because for years, orchestra scene has been trying to figure out how to attract younger people to their shows. And Square comes over here and does their concert, and it's huge. So they decided to do a small tour, and it was huge.
Yeah.
And, that you know, ears started perking up, and that's, you know, how this thing came to be. And it's absolutely blown up. It's selling out wherever it goes. So it's a huge shot in the arm for them, and, oh, man, I cannot wait to go when they come to Orlando or closer, where, you know.
Yeah. No, Video Games Live, that's just what they do. It's a touring orchestra that plays video game music from all genres and eras of video games. And there's some beautiful music out there in the video game world.
Yes, there is. And I guess, you know, if
part of the reason of that is because of the moments that you have playing video games, that music.
That's right. You develop a very emotional attachment to those. You listen to that and you feel the way you did when you were playing it. And it's, man, there's nothing like.
He wasn't ashamed to say that he actually shed a tear.
Oh, yeah. what game? Metal Gear Solid?
It was Metal Gear Solid. Yeah. They played some tracks from Metal Gear Solid, and he actually
some
got
great,
a
little, great
he
got a little misty.
He got emotional there. But, you know.
Well,
and,
you know, that's what music does.
Yeah.
And our generation is very, very tapped into the music that we experience when playing video games. And I'm glad that the people that can produce this quality, this level of music, are aware of that and giving it to us. I think that's an excellent.
And I'm glad they're doing
thing.
This. I thought there was another tour of video game music going on, but I can't remember what it was. There was Video Games Live, and then I thought there was another one, but I could be confused. But I'm still on their mailing list to let me know when new dates and tours have been added. So, you know, whenever it gets closer, we're going to go. And if it comes around to you, if you're listening and you're a fan of games and you're a gamer, and it gets near you, you need to check it out. Go to website videogameslive.com maybe, is that what that is?
I don't have it in front of me.
Let me go real quick over here. I'm already on the page. Let me go to Mouselook and check the forums there real quick. Yeah, real quick. Where is it at? Clicky.
This is Scott browsing the internet
on
radio.
This is what it sounds like. You can go to video games live.com. go there, and you can check the dates of where they're going to be and that sort of thing, and it's amazing, amazing show. So there you go. Let's jump into some of the entertainment news going on this past week. Blu-ray sold, they hit the 1 million mark. Let's see, what does it actually say here? Blu-ray disc have been now selling HD DVD by more than 2-to-1 since the beginning of the year, and the gap is steadily widening. It's exactly what we said along what happened. The strong support for Blu-ray among movie studios and equipment manufacturers mean that consumers have more choices when it comes to players and titles, and they're choosing Blu-ray by an ever-increasing margin. It has become the first high-definition optical disc format to sell more than 1 million discs, a milestone it has achieved in less than a year. So, and you know what? I own a Blu-ray player in the PS3. As I assume, this is part of the reason that Blu-ray has gone up, is because of PS3 sales.
Yeah.
I own the HD DVD player for the 360. You've got more choices as far as the movies out there when you pick Blu-ray. However, regardless of what you pick, and I'll say this now, I don't care if you're going to go HD DVD or Blu-ray, you're going to get, well, your wallet's going to feel the effect. These discs, these movies, cost outrageous amounts of money.
And, come on, they're not coming down, man. They're not. I refuse to believe that. After the music industry, when CDs came out, oh, they'll come down. They'll come down to, you know, the price tapes are. No, they're not. They're not coming down. Well, you better get used to paying this for...
I don't know, man. I can... a CD, a brand new release CD is like $10. That's good. $10 for a CD. They did come down.
Last time I bought a CD, it was like $16.99.
Well, however, you've got to get it...
only a couple years ago.
You got to get it when it first releases. Hang on, she's talking in there. Don't talk with your mic off, because it looks like you're adding to the conversation.
I'm sorry.
What were you saying?
I'm just having my own conversation. He's like, last time I bought a CD, a couple years ago.
True. True.
As often as he buys CDs and movies.
But you go look. Go look in a Sunday paper at the flyer for some of the retail chains out here, and you'll see the new release CDs are around $9 to $10.
All right, so it took them...
I don't know
20 years.
I don't know when they started doing this, man, but I've just started
noticing. There'll be a new format before they come down, then.
Well, no, your Blu-rays and your HD DVDs cost around $30.
Yes, they do.
$30. $29 to $30, something like that. Some of them cost
around
$35.
Yeah, I can buy games for that.
Some of them cost around $35. I wanted to buy X-Men 3 on Blu-ray. $35! I didn't buy it. $35. This is what I don't. It just annoys me.
No thanks.
I bought into the HD, movie watching experience. However, that stuff's expensive. That's a habit expensive to keep up. So, needless to say, I don't buy a lot of movies from a Blu-ray. I guess what I could do is pick up the used ones, though. Used ones aren't that much cheaper, though. So anyway,
torrents are cheaper too.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? Are they in HD? They haven't been HD, don't they?
Yeah, they've cracked the code.
It's all out there, man.
Yeah, I guess it is.
It's hanging out.
All right. Let's see what else we have in the movie news here. Earlier this week, in fact, this was on Friday the 20th at around 10 p.m. is when this was published. Remember, Edward Norton was picked to play the Hulk.
Yes.
Some had said that he was going to be playing the Gray Hulk. The new movie would have him in
really?
Gray. Yeah, in gray form, the more intelligent of the Hulks. However, that was debunked. It's like, no, he's going green. It's not gray. So why I even brought that up, I don't know.
Well, the Gray Hulk, he was intelligent, but he had
he wasn't as strong.
He wasn't as strong, but he had very dark side to him. Kind of a, I think in like the stories he worked as like a kind of a Las Vegas.
He was a bouncer, yeah. He was a bouncer. But he's going to play the green one, so there you go. Let's see, what else do we have? This was interesting, and in fact, he's in the chat room, Fitbibits, and he posted this in the Evil Avatar. Trust me, he hates it whenever you mess up his name. Fitbibits. He's a Scot, and he gets pissed easily. Grindhouse. Did you see me post this in the link dump?
No, I didn't. What happened?
Their opening overseas in the UK was pulled.
Wow.
Because of the box office that it was taken here in the
U.S.
I
can't say I'm terribly surprised. It did terrible.
Where once,
a shame.
Terrible.
Yeah, where once the arrival of a new Quentin Tarantino film was a highlight of the cinema year, his latest work is languishing in limbo without a British release date.
They've already torrented it and have seen it.
After disastrous box office takings of the U.S., it has been withdrawn from the... It was supposed to open June 1st. It's not really anywhere on the map now. So, there you go.
Yep.
You know? It's... yeah. They ain't what they used to be. Quentin Tarantino, he ain't what he used to be. I guess. I don't know. Maybe he's actually still the same. He's just picking the wrong thing. I don't know what that is.
It's a niche film, man.
It's a niche film, but...
And it's at, on top of that, it's not one that they promoted as what it was.
Really?
So,
yeah. And it's... how long is it? Like 3 hours?
3 hours. It's a double feature.
It's a double feature. It's really, really
Quentin
long.
Quentin Tarantino and Roger Rodriguez.
Robert.
Oh, well.
Not Roger.
I'm not a movie guy. He's Roger to me.
Some interesting news. Seth Green has concocted Robot Chicken Star Wars, a 30-minute stop-motion animated Cartoon Network special which mocks scenes from the movie franchise, and he made it in collaboration with Lucasfilm.
Hmm.
They agreed to it. He got George Lucas to play himself and Mark Hamill to play Luke Skywalker. It will premiere June 17th at 10 o'clock. Others lending their voices to the project include Conan O'Brien, Robert Smigel, Malcolm McDowell, Hulk Hogan, whatever.
He's been on Robot Chicken before.
He has. Yeah. James Vanderbeek, Donald
Dawson's Creek.
And Joey Fatone, whatever. So there you go. More news. What else do we have here? You know what? I'll let you take on that one, since you're the big buff on that stuff.
What do we got here?
I'll go ahead and read some more while you look over that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jack Valenti died. Do you know who he is?
He was...
I was looking over at Zilla. She's like shaking her head. No.
The creator of the MPAA.
He created the MPAA. In fact, the rating system that we use now, the G, the PG, all that stuff, his idea. He came up with all that stuff. I know, you're like, party over here. She's doing the whoop-de-doo type finger wave. But he's been criticized a lot for the rating system because... He's basically the guy that sits in the theater and says, I'm going to give you a rated whatever, for whatever reason. Some people in Hollywood hate him. Some people love him. Whatever the case, he created what we now know as that rating system, I guess you could say, pretty much, as it stands today. So, anyway, he passed away, so just thought we'd mention that. So, your turn.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, Rhino still owns the rights to some of the Transformers shows. Beast Wars, Beast Machines, and Transformers Armada. Apparently they lost the rights to all the G1 stuff. But they're planning on reproducing those and bringing out some, I guess, re-releases. That's
yeah.
Beast Wars, man. I don't think it gets any better than Beast Wars. As far as the actual cartoons go.
Mm-hmm.
And Beast Wars was some really, really good stuff.
I've got season one on DVD.
Yeah?
I need to watch it. I've gone through
it
a couple
better.
Of discs. That's what
gets
I've heard.
Better.
Man, the first time I saw...
Good.
There was a dream sequence in that first in the first few episodes of Beast Wars.
Yeah.
I saw Starscream.
Oh, yeah, man.
Fly by.
Yeah.
Like, Starscream, you know, the
Starscream is actually... the one you saw may not have been a dream sequence. It may have been... There was an episode Starscream was in.
Well, this was just, it was very brief. This wasn't the episode he was in.
Okay.
But you just saw, you were coming back from commercial, and then the focus is on the purple Decepticon logo.
Yeah?
It pulls out, and you're on the wing of that red and white,
nice.
And yellow-looking plane or whatever, flies by, and then that's all you get. And then somebody else is going through some other stuff, so that's all you got.
Man, Beast Wars paid... a lot of homage to the original series, both comic and cartoon. They had a lot of tie-in with it. They were very, very faithful, very respectful of everything, and, man, it was good.
If you get a chance, because we can't do it in the time that we have here, but if you get a chance, you need to head over to Wikipedia and type in Beast Wars, and it'll give you the whole backstory of that whole thing and why it was a fan favorite of the G1s.
And Larry DeTillo, who wrote, was one of the co-writers, Bob Ford and Larry DeTillo. Larry DeTillo did writing on Babylon 5.
Yes, Babylon 5.
He's a very, very good TV writer. So.
Yeah. So there you go on that. And we'll talk about Transformers here in a bit, because if you go to Ain't It Cool News, Transformers.com, they have the, there's somebody came out of one of the early screenings of the Transformers film.
Oh, yeah.
Not that you care.
Wonderful.
I know.
That's fantastic.
Exactly.
Yay.
I'm happy with it. I understand that I'm outnumbered in this room by the people that would be, but anyway, we'll move on. You're not happy at all.
The Megatron Fondue Pot.
Huh?
Penny Arcade comic. Penny Arcade, I'll show it to you later.
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. No, I remember the one you're talking about. Let's see. Final bits of news here. They're going to release the Spawn cartoon on DVD again. 10th anniversary edition. It's been 10 years since that came out on HBO.
Wow.
How many episodes of that did they make?
Not many.
18. It consisted of 3 seasons. The first season was like 6 episodes long, and I think the second was 6, and then the third actually had some, not very many, actually. but that was, did you watch that? Did you watch that series?
I watched the first episode, and that was about it.
You only watched the first episode?
I watched the first season.
That was good. That was a really good, the animation was great in it. The storyline followed that comic book to a T.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, it was...
I just wish I'd picked a better comic book.
Well, then the movie came out, and I thought, man, what is this crap? You did so well on the HBO series. What is this? And, yeah, it was horrible. But I'm glad to see that they're going to release it. It's going to have it's digitally remastered color enhancement with the 5.1 audio, 3 hours of bonus material. Let's see. What else does it have in here? That's about it. Exclusive DVD cover artwork. Yay. That's all on that one. Let's see if I can make that trash can again. Look at that. I've thrown 3 for 3 over there. Finally, this is good news. If did you watch Band of Brothers?
No, I didn't.
I know James did. I know we're big fans of that. What about you, Dennis? You ever watch that?
Never watched it.
You guys are missing out on some stuff there, man. That's some good entertainment. That's some good television.
That's what I've heard.
It's really good. Kind of long. Obviously, but it's worth it. It's worth going through that entire series. So that was a Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg thing that they teamed up with HBO for. Now HBO has given the go-ahead, and thank God, because they're running out of series that are any good anymore. HBO has given the go-ahead to a series called The Pacific, a.k.a. The Pacific War. It's a new World War II miniseries produced by Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg. Borg. It's going to be, of course, obviously about the Pacific War, and I don't know when it's due or when it's due out or anything like that, but the fact that they're teaming up for this and are going to do another one is going to be good. So, glad to see there. That is all we've got on our entertainment news, unless you've got others.
How about that planet?
Well, I'd love to talk about the planet. I want to tell you that in theaters this week is, for us, I believe, Hot Fuzz was released, like, larger now.
Oh, yeah.
Really? It's actually here?
It was limited last week. And now it's got a wider release this week. So I just wanted to mention that. And then next week, Spider-Man 3.
Yay!
Already, yeah. We're already hitting the summer months, man. May is next week, and next Friday is Spider-Man 3.
I can't wait for some more Spider-Man.
Man, yeah. I love it. Venom and,
Sandman.
Sandman. Sandman.
Venom.
Sandman.
Venom.
Whatever, man.
Venom's cool, but
Sandman.
What are you laughing at? She's shaking her head. She doesn't want to say what we're laughing at. What are you laughing at?
Nothing. It's just funny to watch you guys fight over the who's the best Spider-Man 3 villain.
Well, and don't forget Green Goblin 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, nobody's talking about that. It's, well, obviously, Sandman's going to get more screen time, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe Green Goblin, I'm not sure.
Don't know. Just don't know.
But for me, it's Venom. Man, I
just don't see him being able to squeeze a lot of Venom in there with Sandman as the main
I don't villain. Think they will. But when I went to Dragon Con, the one and only time I've ever been, my father took me. I was obviously too young to go myself, but my father took me, and he wondered, what are all these strange people doing here? Why is my son walking around in this room with all these people? But he helped me. We went around to dealers, and my dad was really good at, like, haggling and get him to come down in prices and stuff. I told him that I wanted every single copy that the black costume appeared in, starting with Secret Wars. and he went from table to table with me and made sure that I didn't get ripped off. He haggled them down. He got me every single issue that black costume appeared in, all the way up until the Venom run and to the Maximum Carnage run, whenever Carnage was released.
Did that include the Transformers Spider-Man crossover?
Yeah. No, yeah. It included every single...
Transformers issue 3.
Yeah. Every single issue the Todd McFarlane days, the Bagley days as well, which I had Mark sign all the Maximum Carnage issues that I had. And a lot of fun. That was one of the best experiences I had with the
father. People used to write into the Transformers comic and want crossovers with like X-Men or whatever.
Yeah.
And the response was, yeah, Transformers doesn't take place in the Marvel universe with the rest of them. Please, please, please don't mention issue 3.
Exactly. Excuse me. So anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk about the new planet they found. Hopefully you'll be doing the talking on that.
Yeah.
Because I have no information in front of me. And you've got the internet at your disposal, and mine's to the left, back and to the left.
I've got the interwebs.
So anyway, when we come back, we'll talk about that, our final segment here on In-Game Chat, 1170 WACV. What is that?
More Mega Man.
That's right. That was Mega Man. That's exactly what it was. That sounds a lot different than their level stages, actually.
That is one of the level stages.
Man, bringing back memories. That's some good stuff. Sorry. I get nostalgic and I kind of drift.
That was a Lekman stage.
Wow. That's good stuff. Anyway, welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm sorry. It's, you know, I'm sick. It's really cold. I believe my heart rate is slowed because of the cryogenic nature that this place is in right now. Oh. So
doing wonders for your immune system, I'm sure.
You know it. Oh, boy. I'm freezing, actually. It's really cold in here. We tried to turn up the volume.
I was saying, it's a bit colder than it was earlier.
We tried to turn up the heat. It's still cold. Anyway, this is our final segment of the game chat, and we were going to talk about...
Gliese 581C.
581C. They've been making jokes about that name all week long.
Have they?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a planet. It sounds like an apartment.
Well, I mean, you know, it sounds like something we'd...
581C? That sounds like an apartment.
Yeah, it sounds like some boring name a scientist would give a planet, you know.
So. But go ahead and tell us about it, because I'm about to die.
Well, it's the first planet we've discovered that falls in a theoretical habitable zone around a star. Basically, depending on a star's size, there is a certain distance that any further away or any closer to, you shouldn't really be able to have a climate suitable for life.
Right, if it's in that, it's one of those rare occasions where it fell right into...
Of course, yeah. One of the problems is that we can't see a whole lot outside of our own solar system unless it's really, really big. And this is a pretty big planet. I think
it's like what they say about Earth is like if the Earth had actually been positioned just a little bit closer or a little bit farther away.
Well, there's more room for that than some people say.
But that's just what I've heard, and I'm not smart enough to...
It's not like the...
I'm not smart enough to...
5 inches or 5 feet or whatever.
Oh, no. We're talking the cosmic distance.
Yeah.
You know, and that's pretty big when you put it in there, but not really in the terms
of... Well, it's 5 times the mass of Earth.
Right.
Which means we probably won't be trying to set up a colony there.
Because
I don't think we want to weigh 5 times as much as we do. But there's a lot of interesting things about it. One is the star that it's around is a red dwarf, which means that although it falls in the habitable zone, that habitable zone is much, much closer to that red dwarf star than we are to our star.
Interesting thought, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's closer to that sun than Mercury is to our sun. Much, much closer.
It's a planet with a red sun.
Yeah. A very dim red sun.
Someone on the Evil Avatar forum said, you know, if we move there, I think we're going to be kind of puny, because don't people who have red suns, aren't they a lot more? We're coming from a yellow sun, which is going to throw, you know, which is going to throw that off. Or if we go there, will we have powers from the red sun?
Well, what will happen is our planet will explode, and the kryptonite we found recently will become radioactive and kill us when we go there.
That's right. We'll take kryptonite with us that we found.
And just a side story. We'll get sidetracked here for a second. Somebody found a new mineral, looked up the composition, and it turns out it's the same composition that kryptonite has in the Superman Returns movie.
Right.
What are the chances?
If only they had found it in Addis Ababa. That would have been so cool. But yeah, it lacks the pigment.
So that's what'll happen. We'll move there. We'll be... I guess it'll be the reverse. We'll be super weak instead of super strong, and then our Earth will explode. The radioactive kryptonite we just found will come over there and finish us off.
So exactly.
There you go. But anyway, another interesting thing about this planet is it doesn't have a rotation.
Well, no, it's like one rotation for that is like in 13. It takes 13 of our days for it to do a full year, doesn't it?
Well, I'm not talking about rotating around the star. Obviously, it does that.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about... One side of the planet is always lit.
Gotcha.
The other side is always dark.
Gotcha.
Which means that the habitable zone, if there is one, will probably be around the ring around where the sunlight meets the nighttime.
So it's a ring world.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
So we go there.
Habitably, anyway, it would be. And they say that might theoretically be a little bit larger a zone than you would think, because it could be that the atmosphere, spreads the heat and the cool around.
This is all big maybes and big ifs.
It is. We really don't know much about it. It's all just theory.
But ain't it
cool?
Because
we can't see it very well. We can't see other planets our size.
Right.
We just aren't sufficiently advanced enough. But, you know, 10 years ago, we couldn't see this or really anything outside of our solar system. Well, actually, a little bit longer than that.
Right.
But it was just 10 years ago that we started to be able to see all these extrasolar objects, and it's just very, very exciting to find out what all else is out there.
It is, and I look forward to it, and, who knows what will become of this? No one really, so, you know. Will it be in our timeline, you think, or our lifetime, actually? I don't know.
I mean, I don't think we'll get a chance to visit anything extrasolar outside of our solar system.
Right.
You and I might... have the opportunity to go to Mars?
Or to go into space.
Oh, yeah. I think we'll definitely live long enough to go into space and visit the moon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very confident of that. But
Zilla, not so much so.
We won't be traveling outside of our solar system. But I think we will learn an awful lot about what is out there. A lot more than we know now.
It'll be great.
I can't wait to be able to see things clearer and smaller things. Find out what those things.
Did you get a telescope? Have you gotten a telescope?
I haven't gotten a telescope.
I'll just have to give you mine then.
Ah, sure.
We're talking about that. I've seen the moon plenty of times. That's all I really. That's all. You can notice the craters on it and that sort of thing. The outline, very cool to use with a telescope. So I know you were looking for one. Anyway, it's come up. We've got about 10 minutes left in the program, and we're going to go a round table here and talk about what everybody's doing this past weekend and what they will be doing this weekend. And we'll start with the girl in the box. Patoonk, there you go. You're on. What did you do this past weekend? You worked, didn't
now
you?
Now you're asking the hard question.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think I played work.
I've been so sick.
I played work and I played Luxor.
Luxor, yeah.
Yeah.
You got further into that.
I did. Well, I died eventually, and then I started over, and now I'm further. I still don't know when it ends.
Which is weird, because when I check the leaderboards, you're the only one on there, but yet I've been playing enough to be on there as well.
You have to finish your game.
So you actually have to either die or finish the game.
Right. So you have to finish your game before you're ranked, and now I'm obsessed because I don't play much that I can get ranked very high on, but apparently I can get ranked pretty well on this, so...
Yeah.
Now I'm obsessed with it. Thanks, leaderboards.
Yeah.
But.
What are you doing this weekend? Same thing, work in Luxor?
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I shoot balls in Egyptian temples, and that's enough for me right now, apparently.
All
I
right.
don't know. I'm obsessed.
Cool. Dennis, over to you, man. What'd you do this past weekend?
About the only thing I did, actually, put
game, in some... Game-related, by the way.
Play some Resident Evil 4. Just decided to plug it into the Wii and go around and start shooting. And
yeah, there you go. That's all you did, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
What do you plan on doing this weekend?
Probably going to go see Hot Fuzz if it's actually here.
Well,
and,
keep talking and I'll look.
And another thing, I need to catch up on Doctor Who.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
I assigned Dennis homework of catching up with Doctor Who, so, you know, we can start actually watching it together as the new episodes come out. I finally showed him an episode, because I burned him like a DVD of the first season, or I gave him to you on a hard drive.
Yeah, you mean...
And, yeah, he, you know, never watched them, and so I finally showed him an episode, and his girlfriend's like, all right, we're going to watch them now, whether he wants to or not, and the next week comes, and they haven't watched any.
Man,
so,
time...
Hot Fuzz is here.
Oh, thank goodness.
So, you're good to go. You're good to go.
Yeah, catch up.
Yeah.
I will. Yeah. I intend to.
Sure you do.
What did you do this past weekend? I know you came over to the house.
Yeah, I came over to the house, watched you play some Crackdown. We played some Guitar Hero 2.
Yeah.
I watched some more SG-1, watched an episode of Doctor Who. And this weekend I probably won't do much. I might watch a little bit of SG-1, but I don't have any gaming.
The thing is, though, you're getting a 360.
But not until after the weekend.
Oh, I know, but the Friday we'll be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
So that'll be great, and it'll be wonderful to do. Let's see, as for me, I finally finished Guitar Hero 2 on Medium. 5-starred all the songs on there. So, I'm looking at you, Zilla. She was always happy that she had more achievements than me, and I think she still...
Don't I still?
You still have more achievements, however, we have different achievements now.
So?
Yeah.
More is better, that's it.
I have more points than you in career mode, too. Just that, yeah, you don't care. Oh, fine, then I'll have to hurry up and get those achievements then. But I played Guitar Hero 2, this is during the week, because I kind of got sick, and, you know, didn't really play much when I was sick either. It was a lot of resting and not really doing much of anything. Eyes were burning, that sort of thing. But played Guitar Hero 2, played some God of War 2, had to go back and replay through that thing because I was using cheat codes. And eventually, you see where that got me? It got me to a point in the game where it's like, wait a second, you can't go any further. There's a glitch. If you use one of the cheat codes that gives you all the items ahead of time,
uh-oh.
Then when you get to a place where you're supposed to get that item, it doesn't work.
You're done.
So I had to go back and play through the game again, which took up a lot of time. But anyway, I've been playing
for cheating.
I know. Well, I still cheated. I just didn't put in the items, you know, the thing that gives me all those items. So I got through that. Haven't finished it, but I've gotten a very good ways into it. What else did I play?
What else did you play?
There were two more releases this week on the Xbox Live Arcade. One of them was... Is it pronounced... How's it pronounced? Is it Eats?
Yeah. Eats and Mini Golf.
No. Mini Golf was a couple of weeks ago. It was Pinball.
Oh, yeah. I saw you playing that.
Pinball Effects on the 360. Man, oh man, oh man. I am a pinball lover. Pinball, as far as arcades are concerned, that was my first love, were pinball machines. And
I have some fond memories of some video game pinball stuff. I never played a whole lot in the arcades, but I was always a fan of pinball.
Pinbot?
So,
Pinbot?
No, I didn't play Pinbot. There was Pinball Fantasies on the PC in the DOS days.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Was that the one with the robot and you had to build the...
No.
I don't know what that was. But anyway, Pinball Effects came out for the 360 Arcade. I picked it up, and that is just a wonderful game. It gives me the feel of pinball. I don't have to go to the arcade, because arcades don't have pinballs anymore, and arcades are pretty scarce as it is anyway. But yeah, love that, and that's what I did. That's what I'll be doing this weekend, some more pinball. I'll do some more God of War, and who knows what else.
Everybody's well, have you been to Emerald Falls in Prattville? I know they have a few pinball
machines. Do they have some tables in there? I'll have to go back and check that out. I'll definitely have to check that out. But anyway, that's pretty much... Let's see. Hang on. We had 2 minutes. 2 minutes there. So we got about 2 more minutes left.
Have you ever been to Emerald
Falls?
Actually,
we've got 1 minute left. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, it's right behind my house.
Okay, cool.
Of course I've been there. I used to ride my bike in the woods back there before they, you know, tore it all down.
I took Megan up there the other weekend. We drove the go-karts, and before that, we played some golf.
And there was a pinball machine inside the
arcade? Yeah, there's a couple. There's at least a couple. There may be three.
I got to go.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, they got some old arcade games. They got a Miss Pac-Man. They got some air hockey. They got, they've got this old Atari driving game. It was the first 3D driving game I ever saw.
Stunt Driver?
Yes!
Yeah!
Yes! I played that in a Walmart, I believe. Either it was a Walmart or a grocery store.
You know what?
Oh, my God! I got to get to the loop.
I got to get to the loop.
I knew what polygons and 3D games were, I saw that. I was like, oh, this is... I don't understand this, but this looks amazing. It's weird. I love it.
Yeah.
This is great.
It was great.
That's the first time I've seen it since then.
Love reminiscing. Anyway, that's going to do it for us on In-Game Chat. Thank you again for joining us. Don't forget that Evil Avatar Radio is coming up at 10 o'clock. You can head on over to mouselickerevilavatar.com and figure out where those links are to go to that and listen to that podcast. So thank you once again for joining us. We will see you all next week. And not really sure what we'll talk about, but we'll talk about next week.
We'll talk about games.
Exactly. Thanks for joining us.
Movies and stuff.
This has been In-Game Chat right here at 1170 WACV. Have a good night, everybody.
Goodbye.